Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. The Blue Jackets visit the Devils tonight at 7, winners in an NHL best 9 of their last 10. Coverage on the Fan starts at 6:30. NBA league sources tell NBA on Prime Insider Chris Haynes, conversations have ramped up between the Clippers and Cavaliers for a deal that would send James Harden to Cleveland and Darius Garland to L.A. Garland's Cavs visit Harden's Clippers tomorrow night at 10:30. Soccer, Columbus was selected as one of six additional host cities for the 2028 Los Angeles Olympic soccer tournaments. The Columbus matches will be played at Scott's Miracle-Gro Field, home of the Crew. NFL, Browns to hold their introductory press conference for head coach Todd Monken and Berea within the next hour. This update sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co., locally inspired dishes and award-winning cocktails. Visit highbankco.com to make your reservation. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All right, let's get after it. On a Tuesday here on Rothman and Ice, Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes, the Loose Cannon. Boys, good to see you.
Good to see you, man. How you feeling today? You good over there?
Well, I'd like to say I feel like $1 million, but then I'd have to take a pay cut.
You're looking like $1 million with that beard we got going right now, baby.
All right, here we go. All right, so here's the plan. And we've strung the tin cans together. I think this could actually happen.
Okay, what do you got?
So it looks like Andrew Berry is going to introduce the brand new head coach and Todd Monken.
Okay.
And so we'd like to try to take you to Cleveland to do what we call a dip in here. On the presser. Now, before we get to Monken, because he's not there yet.
Yeah.
What is he going to say?
About what specific, what are you curious about, my friend?
I'm very curious, like everybody is, on his thoughts on, because you know he's leaning into Shador.
Okay.
We saw it with the TV crew when they showed up. Ah, we wanted to draft you. Well, now you got him.
It's your guy now, Todd.
When you wanted to draft him, you were drafting him to back up Lamar Jackson, not
true.
To start.
That is very true. I am with you on the intrigue to hear what he's got to say about the most important position. I want to hear about what's going on with Uncle Jimmy. You've been talking to old Jimmy Schwartz? What's going on with that? Have you been able to kind of warm him back into the situation? Yeah. Is that even possible at this point? It's been very hush-hush over the last few days about what's going on with Jim Schwartz. I'm hoping he will be asked about that, because that would be, I think, a good get if he could retain him and have him on that side of the ball as a crafty vet doing his thing over there.
So that'll be it. And listen, this is a team that's won 8 games in 2 years. So, and he was gone when they were winning that playoff game against the Steelers.
Yeah.
And then lost. And by the way, lost to the Chiefs in a game that they got screwed at the goal line.
Wasn't it Higgins?
On the pylon.
I think it was Higgins on that play that you're talking about.
Then out of nowhere on a fourth down, Andy Reid doesn't take the ball out of, was it Chad Henne's hands?
Yeah.
And he completes the pass.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's like, what a wild game. Think about that. The Browns, not that long ago, lost a divisional playoff game at the Chiefs that we can all say they probably deserve to win.
And the game in Pittsburgh, and I agree, yes, the game in Pittsburgh, there was no Kev around. No. Kevin Stefanski wasn't there. I think that was a COVID situation for him. So I think Uncle Todd's at the mic now. Let's go up to the land and hear what the new Browns head coach has to say.
To lead this flagship, you know, franchise, NFL franchise, I mean, it's been a long time coming. Really has been a long journey. And there's a lot of people as we get down the road here that I'm going to have to thank, but I'm jacked. I mean, I'm excited to be with the Cleveland Browns. I mean, it really, it's hard to even put into words. First off, I want to thank Dee and Jimmy, Whitney and JW, for entrusting me in this opportunity to help build a winning team with the NFL's most passionate and dedicated fan base, including the Dog Pound. Secondly, I want to thank Andrew. Pointed that way, but you're right there. I want to thank Andrew Berry. Crazy enough, in 2019, when I interviewed here, my contact was Andrew, and actually was the first gentleman that I met with when I came in the building. And I could tell right away that our alignment and his clear vision for how you build the roster and how you develop players, we were aligned. And I look forward to being connected at the hip and building this roster to a championship level, consistent championship level. He mentioned the last few years getting an opportunity to work with Kirby Smart and John Harbaugh, two of the elites in the game. When you talk about getting a doctorate in coaching, wow. I owe a lot to them. They entrusted me to elevate the offenses at both places, which is a credit to the staff we had and the players we had, because you can't do it alone. You absolutely cannot do this alone. It takes an army, and I owe a lot of gratitude to them. The one thing I learned being with both of them, I always thought I understood what it meant to confront anything that gets in the way of winning football. And what's interesting is they get to the same point. They just do it completely differently. But it's an art. Because ultimately, just like I would have with my son, just like our children, you're going to confront anything that gets in the way of helping them become the best version of them. And that's your job with something that you love. And that's something I've never taken for granted with any job I've ever had, is fighting to confront anything that gets in the way of winning football. And I owe a lot to Coach Harbaugh. He hired me out of Georgia, took a shot on a college coordinator, trying to elevate Lamar in the offense. And I learned a ton. He is elite at messaging with a team, especially with an NFL team, and how you deal with players and how you confront anything that gets in the way of winning without being confrontational. To me, that's an art. That's an art. Thank you, Coach. And then the last thing, I told myself I wasn't going to cry, for God's sakes. I want to thank my mom and dad, no longer with us, my brothers, Tony and Tim.
Are you tired of watching your retirement rise and fall with the market? You're not alone. Two of our clients,
college roommates, drove up here to be here today. My father-in-law, Chuck. My son, Travis, proud of the man you've become, and his fiancée, Anna. And my wife, Terry, been together 40 years, been married 34. Of course, she would say that's probably six, because you're actually married to the game. So, but it's been an unbelievable journey. Thank you. I love you. Before I take any questions, I just want to, there's something that I've kind of always lived by as a position coach, as a coordinator, and I will as a head coach. And, you know, Dee and Jimmy, they cut a check with my name on it. And you know what they expect? A freaking kick-ass football team. That's what they expect. And you know what they want? They want to become a winning franchise that our fan base in our region is proud of. And that's all they've been about, is how you build a winning franchise that consistently competes for championships. You know what? My job is to prove it every single day, and I appreciate that. Thank you. And with that, let's go with some questions.
For questions, why don't we raise our hands and introduce yourself, even though you may already know Todd. Reintroduce yourself to him. Mary Kay?
Hi, Todd. Welcome back. Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, Cleveland Plain Dealer. Well, I guess I'll start right off the bat with the question probably everybody wants to know. Will you head into this offseason with Shedeur Sanders as your QB1? And if not, what is your approach to the whole quarterback situation as you move into your new job?
Well, I think like any position on the team, that's still to be determined. Am I excited about Shador? Am I excited about all the quarterbacks in the room? Am I excited to coach this football team? Absolutely. I can't wait for them to get back and for us to get started.
Joe Reedy, Associated Press. Todd, you mentioned in a Harbaugh Coaching Academy video your 2019 stint here. There was a lot of drama that the coaching staff couldn't control. Now that you're the head coach and learning from Kirby and Harbaugh, how do you manage that so that there isn't that drama?
Well, first off, I learned a lot in that 2019 season. I think you learn a lot. In fact, you learn a heck of a lot more when things aren't going well than when it is going well. And I learned a lot of things that I would have done different, and I think collectively would have done different. And I've seen it from a different angle, different point of view. But I'm ready to move forward with this team, the 2026 team.
Chris?
Hey, Todd. Chris Easterling, Akron Beacon Journal. Just want to ask you, as a former quarterback, what is it you're specifically looking for in a quarterback? What is that trait? What are the or traits that you feel like are critical for a successful quarterback, regardless of level?
Well, I'm just going to start with personality traits. I mean, when you talk about who's going to lead this team, who has the it factor, who has those characteristics that the team wants to follow and believes in them, because the ball's in their hand every down. This game's going to come down to two-minute situations, four-minute situations, where you've got to be able to execute at a high level. And we're just talking about some of the characteristics that you're looking for, let alone some of the physical traits that we'll get a chance to talk about later.
Let's go Scott, Dan, and then Jimmy.
Hey, Todd, Scott Petrick from the Chronicle-Telegram. You said it was a long time coming. When did you first start to think about being an NFL head coach, and did you feel you'd come close before, and then what does it feel like finally now?
Well, first off, I played at Knox College, and my dad were high school coaches, and my uncles were high school coaches, so that was just a dream. But I've been part of a team since I've been 5 years old, the Purple Pounders of Wheaton, Illinois, and it's the coolest thing ever to be part of a team. Let's just put it that way, okay? All I ever wanted to do was be part of a team and coach football. That's all. I mean, other than my mom making an Evel Knievel outfit or an astronaut, I was a football player every Halloween. That's all I ever dressed up as. You name it, that's what I dressed up as. When I was a kid, everybody else was getting trains. They were getting army men. I was getting football games. My dad, every single the little vibrating football game or talking football or rubber band football, every single game I ever got was about football. So all I ever want to do is coach and be part of a team. To me, it's not until you get into the NFL that you ever process like the opportunity could potentially be there to be a head coach in the NFL. Obviously, you have to probably reach the coordinator level to where that becomes a possibility. And there have been times before where I've been close. And I believe God put you at the right place at the right time. And that is now.
Okay. All right, we're going to cut out of this because we got to get a break. But there you go. He broke down very Mike McCarthy-esque there about his family getting him to this point. And now he comes back to Cleveland and wants to deliver what Jimmy and Dee, he says, want. And that's a kick-ass football team. So that's going to be the headline quote of the press conference so far. We thought we were going to go 1-2, Maddie and I. When we said, what's he going to say? I said, well, he's going to definitely be asked about Shador. That was the first question. I was really hoping the second question was going to be about Jim Schwartz. And now we're doing like a wiki page background.
A little history lesson on Todd.
And I'm surprised they haven't said anything about talking him off the ledge.
So are the people in the YouTube chat. Everyone's like, where is the Schwartz question?
Yeah, those are the top two headliners. But I'm sure in time, you know, he'll be asked about that. So we'll keep you guys up to date on that.
All right, we'll react to what he said so far about the quarterback and relay anything he said about Jimmy Schwartz and the defense when we come back. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We're the highest rated sports radio station in America. There's no joke there. We just are. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.
Rothman and Ice every Thursday at 2:30 for Gold Jacket Thursday.
Presented by the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
A new Hall of Famer joins the show every week. But not OJ, because he's dead and probably a murderer. The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Scattered snow showers today, mainly south of I-70, looking at accumulations. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with highs in the low 30s. For tonight, mostly cloudy with our lows in the single digits again, and then mostly sunny on Wednesday with daytime highs topping out in the mid to low 20s. I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets Hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Anthony used to ski in his jeans? Are you serious? No, he's not from New Jersey. Back to Rothman and Ice.
Todd Monken had that nice bright orange tie on.
Okay, is that what he's rocking?
I haven't Jimmy seen it Jimmy Haslam style.
Okay.
Yes, he was dressed up for this occasion, Maddie. I know when he walked in the other day, you thought it was just kind
of... It was very football coachy, you know what I mean? I just thought we could, you know, tighten it up a little bit, but you could hear it in his voice. It sounded like the raspy football coach voice we got going on, you know, dropped a couple curse words right out of the gate in the presser, mentioned the dog pound, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's about ball, and I respect it. He's just about that action, boss. That's all he's doing right
Let
now.
The expletives fly. Yeah. That's the way you endear yourself to people. Here in this part of the country. Got emotional, like you said, thanking his parents and his family and his friends for this journey. 60 years old to get this job and to come back. And he's buying low. Like, you could say that. I'm not saying that that would be his choice. Like, most coaches want to inherit a great roster. Like, that's what it takes. But I guess if you want to spin it positive, he is inheriting and buying low. So, now, while we were gone, of course, he did address, I don't know the exact question. Maybe it was just as simple as, have you talked to Jimmy? Where's Jimmy?
Yeah.
Somebody let us know how Jimmy's doing. Is he out on the ledge? Is he up on top of the building? Like, where is he? Is he secretly going to interview in Philly? Like, where is he? And I guess, TLC, we do have some kind of an answer about this.
Here's the beginning of the question.
Cleveland.com. Just wondering, being in the division, like, what your impression as a coordinator was of this defense, and if you've had a chance to talk to Jim or anything yet.
Give me that again, the last part.
If you've had a chance to talk to Jim Schwartz.
Or I have. Okay, so with that, I've had a chance to talk with Jim. But it's been a bitch to go against this defense 6 times over the last 3 years. Schematically, and more importantly, the players, because ultimately it's a player's game. That's what it is. It's our job as coaches to develop systems that allow your players to play fast. People talk about time speed. It's really not about time speed. It's about how they play on the field. And that's developing schemes, in my opinion, or systems, as Coach Harbaugh used to call it, with elegant simplicity, where they can function at a high level and play fast. And that's what you saw all the time with the guys that are here and the players that we have. But at the end of the day, I say this all the time, from an offense or defensive perspective, it starts with having elite players and then having an elite coaching staff with you. And then you can call the game freely because of that, because of the talent you have And then because of the players, I mean, with the coaches that help it come to life, you know, that's what makes a coordinator elite.
You know what, AR, when there was that pause after I have before he got to the defense, I would have loved for that reporter to jump in there and say, well, how did the conversation go? What did you guys talk about? They kind of let him off the hook there because that's the information I want to hear is what's the vibe right now from Jim Schwartz? We can all glowingly talk about how good the defense is. We know that. But this is we got to get down to brass tacks right now. What is his energy like? Does he want to come back?
That's it. What you just said at the end. I don't know if there was a follow-up. There needed to be. Or if there wasn't a follow-up by that reporter, somebody else needed to chime in.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're more than wanting him to be your defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Does he still want to be? Or is there some sort of fence you have to mend? Some sort of bridge that he has to come back? Is he interested in being your defensive coordinator? Do you anticipate him being your defensive coordinator? When will that get ironed out so you know what you're doing? You're right. This was a top three defense against the pass. It was a middling defense against the run. It was probably middling in points against, but it has a game wrecker.
No doubt it does. Hall of Famer.
And
yes.
So but at the end, I do think that he gave us a little peek there. That as great as Jim Schwartz is, these are my words, not his. I'm just paraphrasing. You need the horses.
Gotta have dudes.
And so he left himself an out that if it's not Jim, at least we have great players and we think we can plug in a DC and play. Now, he didn't say that, but I totally agree with you. There has to be, when you spoke to him, he's under contract. Do you expect him to be your defensive coordinator?
Yeah. Hopefully somebody did circle back around to that. And look, he's right to identify the talent that he's looking at on paper right now up there in Cleveland. I mean, you got three levels of guys right now that are impact players. You're going to have the back-to-back defensive player of the year. Hopefully a guy like Mason Graham can come on even more in year number two because that D-line obviously would get better and better if attention can go away from Miles every now and then. But he should be encouraged about that. But on the offensive side of the ball, too, and hopefully maybe throughout the show, we can hear his thoughts on the personnel that's up there in Cleveland. I know he touched on the quarterback situation, and it was a very by-the-book answer for a coach where he said, you know, that's still to be determined. And that, to me, AR, is a coach not wanting to send messages to his locker room that I'm giving anybody anything, right?
I had no problem with that answer.
No, not at all. That
people
all these
saying,
guys,
oh, he danced around the quarterback question. Absolutely. It's February.
And if we're being honest, what guy right now really stamped himself as the guy last year? So this should be a little bit of a competition, if you will, to a certain degree. So yeah, when he dropped the still to be determined, I thought that was the appropriate answer because you don't want to come in as a new head coach and have guys feel like you're handing handouts to anybody.
And what Browns fan right now is committed mentally in their mind either. So it's like that's kind of right on par with everybody else.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, if you want to get deeper in the weeds, and this would be a hypothetical, you know, and I don't even know if he knows, because that's why it's okay for him to be non-committal. He should be non-committal at this point. He should be committing to anybody, despite his little reunion with Shadur and the now we get to realize the dream together. I wanted you then, I get you now. Like, there's nothing to that, because he was going to be Lamar's backup.
He wanted him at 141.
That's right. So he can be non-committal with the quarterback situation. If you wanted to push him, if you had to play a game today, or is Deshaun in the mix? How do you feel about that?
Love
like, that's
that.
Okay. Like, are you excited the fact that you may have a guy that's, you know, ready to show you what he's made of now that he's healthy? I don't know, but that may get deeper into the presser. I guess he was asked about Schwartz. I'm getting kind of a live transcript here of what's been asked.
Yeah, read it to me.
And he was asked about Schwartz, and he did comment. I don't know what the exact question was, but it says, inappropriate for me to comment about that at this time, but that he's an outstanding DC, which we already know.
Okay.
So that means that, well, what that tells me is that Schwartz doesn't want to be there still. Like, nothing's really changed there. Now, whether he's compelled to be there based on two things, contractually or the fact there's nowhere else for him to go and he may reluctantly have to coach,
mm-hmm.
or that the emotions die down, but I thought that he'd have a little more to say about that one way or the other. So this makes me feel like it's going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way.
Because it, trains automobiles.
That's right. Well,
got one.
Yes. Two for two. So I feel like if they had had the conversation, which it sounds like they have, and they had calmed it down, he would have kind of soft-sold it a little bit. Hey, I've talked to Jim.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is a very tough time. He was a candidate for this job as well, and a very legit candidate for this job. He's working through the emotions of that. We had a great conversation, and I'm confident that we're going to get to a point where both of us are really happy about it. Like, he could have done that.
No doubt.
It sounds like that's not the way it went, or that he doesn't want to speak because Jim is trying to get out of his contract.
It'd be a tough blow. It'd be a tough blow to the team and the franchise right now if Jim Schwartz somehow, some way, isn't roaming the sidelines as the DC or up in the booth or whatever he likes to do, because it seems like the guys on that side of the ball, some of the star players on the defensive side of the ball, really like Jim Schwartz and like playing for that dude. And why would they not? It's been a system that for years, even outside of Cleveland, has produced some really good things. And we saw emotionally where Myles Garrett was at with his cryptic message on social media. And so you just want to go into the draft season, into free agency, and then obviously OTAs, minicamp, and training camp with as good of energy as you can. And you don't want guys mentally not being as locked in as they would be if Jim Schwartz was there. So hopefully for Browns' sake, Browns fans' sake, that they can get this figured out. But I'm with you, AR. The energy around it right
not
now
good.
Does not seem good, because the reports that came out of that building immediately when Monken was named was that Jim Schwartz was, you know, packing his bags and he was ready to go, and he was not a happy camper at all. And so I don't know how you heal that, because that man was ready to be a head coach, and he obviously feels wronged by the franchise with how they went about it.
I was wrong. I thought that they delayed the presser because they wanted this resolved first and didn't want it to be the center of all of this. And we come out of this presser not knowing anything more, and I'm leaning that it's still going the wrong way. This was a great prediction on the presser. We talked about what would be said. It'll be vanilla. Looking forward to getting to know the players. We'll be evaluating all that in time. Our goal is to win football games. Very happy to be here. A dream come true. A lot of those boxes were checked so far.
By the book.
In the introductory press conference with Todd Monken. We come back in 2 minutes. We'll switch gears to the Buckeyes. And a former Buckeye coach, a legendary coach, weighs in on what he anticipates will be Ohio State's offense this year. Rothman.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
In plumbing.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Matty is a diehard Reds fan. I mean, where else is he going to go? You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, we got the Nelly quote of the day.
It's
hot in here now.
We got another quote real quick. But hey, top of the hour.
Yeah.
It is Tuesday, folks, so get in line. The floor is yours. We want to hear from you, 614-821-9710. Get in line, Browns fans, Bengals fans, just whoever you are. We love hearing from you. So 1 o'clock, we will open the phone lines for the floor is yours. Quickly, before we get to some Buckeye stuff, we noticed this during the break, AR. Mary Kay Cabot tweeting out this quote from Todd Monken. I didn't take this job because of Jim Schwartz. I took it because of the players. I didn't try to chip Jim Schwartz. I chipped Myles Garrett. So I think
I wasn't game planning against their DC.
Correct. And so I think this is also smart business by Todd Monken to get this quote out there, because he saw obviously how Myles felt about the Jim Schwartz news. So you want to get as much love in the air from me, or if you're Todd Monken, if I was Todd Monken, from me to Myles Garrett to let him know how I really feel about him. It's not the DC. I'm here to coach you. So that's crafty by him, I think, with the way that he phrased that.
Myles, it's 11 days before Valentine's Day. I took the job for you. I got it by watching you.
Yeah.
I think he's actually, in the 10, 12 minutes we've heard, I'm giving him A-.
I mentioned that the other day.
I'm giving him a decent grade on this.
I was always impressed as a Ravens fan when I heard him speak. And I mentioned the other day that I think Browns fans will like what they hear, like his energy and his conviction and what he says. And so I'm not surprised that you feel that way and maybe some other people feel that way, because he's got the gift of gab, and he can win people over with his words, but he's got some stuff to back it up too. And you just got to, hopefully that shows itself out there on the field.
Yeah, it's got a serious, passionate tone to it. Yeah. I know these are just words. He still has to get a roster. But he did talk at the beginning about building a roster and hopefully getting the dedication and trying to get this back. It's not college football, though. You can't go out and buy players.
It's the big leagues, baby.
Like, this is not the way this works, right? I mean, it's not about that. It's about eventually finding a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And then ramp, and he's the guy, if they get one, to help this offense match the defense in some way. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you got a competitive football team.
It's so funny, man. I was thinking about this the other day, how the two NFL franchises in the state of Ohio right now are on complete opposite sides of their roster structure at the moment. Like up there in Cleveland, mm-hmm. they got a really good defense, questionable quarterback play and offensive play. Down in Cincinnati, they have an elite offense with an elite quarterback and really bad stuff on defense right now.
So it's like a spring game. it's like ones on ones and then twos on twos. Yeah.
And you look at where the Bengals have been, and they've been able to close the gap on some of the good teams because of how important that position is. And when you're Cleveland, you can have this Hall of Fame talent, Myles Garrett, and some other really good players on that side and a good DC, but you're always going to be handcuffed to a certain degree because you just have to have some guy under center that can make things happen. And so you're right, AR. Until that gets figured out, we may be talking about the Browns in a similar light. And so hopefully Todd Monken can develop maybe Shador, Dylan Gabriel, or maybe there's another guy that comes in-house that can hit the ground running.
Yeah, so just merge both. Start playing your games in Columbus. Right. Just one team. Like, it's time for one of the Ohio teams to just wave the white flag and say, we're done. And then merge the teams, and then you got something.
Could you imagine that team that had the Bengals offense with the Browns defense? You're on to something then.
Let's see what that would do. Let me see what that would be yards per game totals, where they would rank. So right now, regular season this year, the Cleveland Browns gave up 283.5 yards a game. That ranks fourth in the NFL.
You got points per game too for defense?
I do. They were more middle when I looked at that. I think they were 20, well, maybe a little above middle. So they were 22 points a game giving up, which puts them about roughly 15th, somewhere like that.
And you know
what
I think? If we attach the Bengals offense to that.
So let's do that.
If you attach the Bengals offense to that, I think they would be even better on defense because they wouldn't be out there on the field as much.
Problem with the Bengals, we'd have to find a year where Joey played most of it, right?
That's tough.
Right, but now, this year, they were at 24.5 points per game.
That's
Cincinnati.
There's a lot of Jake Browning in there.
It's like top 12.
Yeah, but we know what they are when they're healthy and rolling. It's peak stuff.
Ohio State's offense is going to be very interesting, as we've talked about with Arthur Smith, and the fact that he could get this running game back up to a very consistent level without ignoring what they have at quarterback or at wide receiver. That would be the dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
For him not to just like paint himself into a corner of, we're going to just be a physical football team of tight ends. We're going to jumbo this up and control the clock. I mean, you got a Heisman Trophy candidate receiver and you got the best receiver in the game. So you're going to use him a lot, I would think. And Urban Meyer weighed in. This was on his podcast, correct?
Yeah, Triple Option Podcast, I believe is the name of it.
Yeah, on the addition of Arthur Smith and how Ryan Day and he will mesh.
Ryan's pretty well set in his offense. That's the same offense terminology we used when I was there. And Chip Kelly changed it a little bit because I remember asking him, because the minute you hire a big-name coordinator, the coordinator is going to run his stuff. Yeah, so you're going to have 100 people in that program now learn a new terminology. Unless there was an agreement, whenever I hired a coordinator, I would give them the playbook and say, this is what we're going to run. And I usually elevated my guys and we ran it because I wanted to know what's going on. And we talked about that. You know, is Coach Day going to walk in that meeting room and say, what in the hell are we doing? I don't recognize this terminology. And it's been pretty good. So I think there's probably going to be a little bit of a mesh of what he's done before.
This is weird at the end of the season. The Brian Hartline effect, juggling the duties, decision to call the plays in the quarterfinal. Who's really calling them? What's happening? why they decided to kind of play conservative again at the end, especially against Indiana in the Big Ten title game. I talked a lot about that on this show. But I felt like when you had the bye secured, not that you didn't want to win, but when there's 3 minutes to go and you got a fourth and one in the red zone, even though you didn't get it the first time, you go for that. You don't kick. And I'm not saying if they tied the game, they don't win in overtime. My point on that whole thing was that I was surprised that Ryan went back to that nature of the game. That if I get points here and I tie it and I get a stop, I can win it. To me, with this offense, it kind of started to bog down. They were killing teams they should kill. And then when they went up against very good defenses, statistically and talent-wise, they couldn't score. They really, I mean, it was odd. And I don't think it was just for being conservative. I think those defenses had a lot to do with it. But this will be interesting now on how much they lean into still being a wide-open offense under Smith. And he's got a lot of experience, and this will be his strength because Hartline never called plays before the 25 season. And so now he gets a guy that's been around and he trusts. And I think you got to trust it before you bag it, because I just think that people want to paint him in a corner of that. This is only going to lead to more conservative football. Well, it might lead to more balanced and complementary football. And that way, when you get into big games, you're a little less predictable.
One thing Urban always wanted when he was here is he always mentioned, I think, what was it, AR? He wanted 250 and 250 a game. Right?
That was
the goal.
Pie in the sky.
For sure, yeah. Right? But that's the goal as a head coach is to, at the end of the day, that's rooted in just balance. That's the offense.
He also said he wanted that in the NFL.
Well, which is, that's tough, too.
That didn't go over that's very tough well. Too,
but yeah. I get what he wants, and that for sure is where you want to be as an offense, is just to put the defense in a bind as much as you can and not be predictable. But the first thing, well, maybe not the first thing, but what I think is high priority for this year's team is going to be, what do they get up front? You know how talented the playmakers are. We know how talented the quarterback is. But really what, you know, sent them home, unfortunately, this year was, you know, they did not win the battle down in the trenches, Miami or Indiana. And that will always show itself, no matter what level of football that we're talking about. So that's got to be a thing that they really lock in on, and I'm sure that they are. You got guys coming back who I'm sure that they have some confidence in down there. But that's what's got to get corrected, is when they got into some of those measuring stick games, the reason why the offense couldn't pop off the way that we saw it pop off all season long was because you were getting beat up down there in the trenches. And so that's something they're going to have to hear about all offseason. They get that in order. There's going to be plenty of goodies to go around. And I have belief that Arthur Smith will come in here and really kind of realize, hey, I don't need to do what I did in Pittsburgh. I don't need to do what I did in Atlanta or Tennessee. Now I'm here in Columbus with a new batch of really, really talented guys. And let me lean into those strengths. He did it in Tennessee when he had A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown comes out of college. First 2 years, the dude pops off for 1,000 yards and has a combined 19 touchdowns. So he knows what to do with elite weaponry, and now he's going to get an elite quarterback, and I think they're going to try to hit this thing down the middle of the fairway as many times as they can, and if they do that, Ohio State's offense should be pretty good.
Put your best players in position to affect the game.
Yep.
And I'm sure he knows that more than most. All right, we're going to come back. It's Party Like a Roth Star. Up next, who had the best weekends? We'll tell you, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
Bah, the meatloaf!
The Fan.
Would you and
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan.
Hey, folks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Ohio Heating and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Let's all gather into the Kiki. It's time to party like a rock star.
All righty. It's some big, big stuff this weekend.
I like that all righty off the top.
I feel like there's a few things to get to.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, top of the hour, yeah. Floor is yours. 614-821-9710. Get in line. Looking forward to hearing from you guys.
Your chance to talk to TLC, then get on the air and be a big hit with your friends.
Let's do it.
Who's starting here?
Go ahead, man. Lead us off.
I may surprise you. I may start with the NBA.
Oh, I think I know where you're going. I'm glad you're doing
it. I don't know if you do know where I'm going.
I know where you're going.
No, I don't think you do.
Oh.
Okay. I don't think you do.
All right.
I don't think you would know. I don't think so.
Well, guess what? The floor is yours, sir. Lead us off.
I don't even know if you get it in the first three.
This is going to warm my heart if it's who I think it is.
I don't think it would be because okay. It's kind of an offbeat one.
Okay. What do you got?
I'm picking a team that lost like four in a row that's now won six in a row. I think it's six.
I know exactly who you're putting
in. And because they beat the Lakers on Sunday night and spoiled LeBron's 32nd game at Madison Square Garden. I'm going with a former first rounder out of Wichita State, Landry Shamet.
Okay.
This guy averages about 8 a game.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday, he had 23 off the bench. Well, he couldn't miss.
Yeah.
He is on his sixth team. A while back, he was out for a month with a bad shoulder. He is back. 8 of 13 from the field. 60% from three. 6 of 10.
It's a good day at the office.
And plucked down a couple rebounds, had an assist, had an offensive rebound. I'm going with Landry Shamet.
Okay.
And he wears my favorite number, 44. And he had a heck of a night. The 23 off the bench against LeBron and company in a win. And now the Knicks have come out of nowhere to win six in a row.
Former Cavs coach Mike Brown leading the charge for the Knicks.
So, and former IU grad, OG, well, not a grad. I don't know if he did graduate. OG Anunoby had a big night against the Lakers as well. So I'll put the Knicks in there.
Okay. I am starting up in Cleveland. I thought this is where you were going to start. And I'm going to go with Jared Allen. Because Jared Allen on Sunday, this man was making some history. Cavs were in Portland. They win the game 130-111. 40 points, 17 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 blocks, and 2 steals on 69% from the field for Jared Allen in 30 minutes. The history that I was referring to, he is the first Cavalier ever to have at least 40 points and 15 rebounds in a regular season game. And then how about this? He's the first player in NBA history with 40, 15, and 5 in under 30 minutes. That's pretty wild, man. When you're the first player in any realm of life to do anything, that's eye-opening to me. First player in NBA history with 40, 15, and 5 in under 30 minutes. Jared Allen has been a constant in Cleveland over the last few years. I know some people kind of been hot and cold on his play, but Sunday he was balling out, man, and the dude carved out his own chapter in the history books in the NBA. So Jared Allen for your Cleveland Cavaliers, partying like a rock star.
Let's go to the Lynx, and this guy, this usually doesn't happen for guys that in their mid-40s, but Justin Rose went wire-to-wire at Torrey Pines over the weekend, 23 under. He's 45 years old, and we've had guys win majors in their 40s, don't get me wrong, but he broke Tiger's tournament scoring record. So he's the oldest to ever win the tournament at 45, and he's the first wire-to-wire tour winner since Scheffler did this. I think just earlier, well, last year, the Byron. But the fact that Justin Rose is now in a tie for third in FedEx Cup standings now at the beginning here with world number one Scottie Scheffler, he goes from 10 to 3 in the official world golf ranking. So at 45, the former Memorial champ, and he won here back in 2010, kind of broke through. I think the Memorial was his first ever win on U.S. soil. And so he's got, now he won the U.S. Open back in 2013 a while ago. Unfortunately, finished second like three times at the Masters. But to win at the Farmers at 45 and to go wire to wire, pretty impressive. Justin Rose, partying like a rock star.
I like him. I like Rosie. Second candidate for me. We're going down to the Natty. We're going down to the Natty because I got to show some love to a man that I really haven't shown a lot of love to, but it's time.
Castellanos?
No, he may be coming back, though. Watch out for that. But the president of baseball operations for my Cincinnati Reds, Nicholas Craw, come get your flowers, sir, because you brought back one of my favorite Reds of all time. This is good business. You signed Eugenio Suarez to a one-year $15 million deal, and this was absolutely needed because the Reds last year finished 21st in home runs. Eugenio himself finished fifth in the sport with 49 dingers last year. Back in 2019, when he was a Cincinnati Red, Suarez hit 49 home runs. So it's a feel-good story. It's something that the lineup needed. Now you can take a little pressure off Ellie and the gang to be big boppers. Now you got a big bopper in the lineup. So Reds, president of baseball operations, Nick Craw, doing some good business, AR. He's partying like a rock star.
I may be slotting him into the fantasy baseball queue. Where he's playing, what he can do down there.
Oh, yeah. As our guy J-Lew calls it, the great American launching
pad. That's right.
Welcome, Holmes. Welcome home.
Welcome home, Holmes. I'm going to go with Carlos Alcaraz, youngest man in tennis history to complete the career Grand Slam.
Yeah.
So he's won them all now at 22. It's 22 years and 8 months. So that means he's younger than when Rafa did it. Younger when Roger did it, much younger when Novak did it, when my boy Andre Agassi did it. I mean, he did it at 29. So the fact that Alcaraz did this at 22 and 8 months, losing the first set in the Aussie Open final, and then he blitzed the rest. So if he's the youngest man in tennis history to complete the career Grand Slam, that means he won the U.S. Open at 19, won Wimbledon at 20, won the French at 21 and the Aussie at 22.
That's incredible.
That's a trend that I should have been betting into. The fact that every single year he won the one he needed.
Yeah.
He is now a career Grand Slam.
He's special, man. The dude is special. Last candidate for me, a man born on May 25th, 1985. He is the leader of the Island of Relevancy. Ladies and gentlemen, he is your tribal chief, Roman Reigns. Get the ones up right now. Acknowledge Roman Reigns because we're coming back for everything. We took a little time off. We're doing movies. And look, he said on Pat McAfee's show, I don't like what I'm seeing. The king is back. Put the ones up. We won the Elimination Chamber on Saturday. Main eventing WrestleMania in Vegas here in a couple months. And CM Punk, you were put on notice last night. Roman Reigns is back. AR, my tribal chief. Get the ones up in the sky, folks. He's back partying like a rock star.
All right. Up next, top of the hour, is the floor is yours. 821-9710 is the number. Your chance to get in, rant away, and we'll have you up top of the hour. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Catch the latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on the Buckeye Show. New special guests in everything Scarlet and Gray, the Fan.
What can Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Outcome. Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Browns head coach Todd Monken was introduced to the media today in Berea, Ohio. Here's Monken on what owners Jimmy and Dee Haslam expect from him.
You know what they expect? A freaking kick-ass football team. That's what they expect. You know what they want? They want to become a winning franchise that our fan base and our region is proud of.
Munkinetti will call plays as he did as Ravens offensive coordinator. NHL Blue Jackets visit the Devils tonight at 7. Coverage on the Fan starts at 6:30. NBA Cavs look to be active before Thursday's trade deadline. NBA insider Chris Haynes reported conversations have ramped up between the Clippers and Cavaliers. That would send James Harden to Cleveland and Darius Garland to L.A. ESPN's Brian Windhorst also reported the Cavs would talk to the Mavericks about Anthony Davis and the Bucks about Giannis Antetokounmpo. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
True to his name, Matty Ice wears a winter coat in the middle of summer. He lives the gimmick, man. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, second hour of the program, Rothman and Ice. Happy you're with us. They're already projecting the college football bracket for 2027.
Sure, why not? Why not?
We'll get to that this hour. Our friend Tyvus Powell will jump on this hour. Maybe he can lend. You know what? I'm going to write a little note to myself. On the old, let's read into the old Jim Schwartz, may the Schwartz be with you situation.
Yeah, I got that.
And whether Tyvus read it the same way I did.
Okay.
You know, it would be inappropriate to comment at this time. That doesn't sound good. All right, so we also have The Floor is Yours. TLC is currently having his own radio show over there. Eventually, he will put some dudes on the air for us. Who do you got in the queue right now?
Oh, you
batting leadoff.
Batting leadoff is Danny in Delaware, of course.
Danny in Delaware.
He's got a new head coach. He wants to talk about it.
Your dime.
Your dance. We got a new head coach. Let's go. Hey, you know what else we have? We have a defensive player of the year. We got a defensive rookie of the year. We got two picks in the first round of this year's draft. And wrist up, baby. We got a Pro Bowl quarterback. Things are looking pretty promising for the Brownies. The dynamic of the division is changing. And then TLC. The fan don't want no scrubs. A scrub is a guy who can't shovel his own driveway. This guy's taking adult snow days now? What is up with that? I already told you, you can't take days off during The Floor is Yours. I was left on hold for 20 minutes listening to two callers talking about climbing buildings in Mount Everest. And the only thing that was climbing that day was my blood pressure. Did Danny in Delaware get demoted to the practice squad, didn't get the memo? I take away from my full-time job, from my part-time job, and I get this disrespect. Vaughn should feel the same way. Go Browns.
Shout out to Danny. Shout out to Vaughn. He's always bringing it to back TLC, though. He didn't even have a driver. He just, the apartment complex, they didn't do their job. He couldn't get out. He just couldn't get out, Danny. So he made an effort to get here. Our boy just didn't have the old apartment support he needed over there.
Mm. The best phrase uttered today, adult snow day. Yes, that's what happened. It was a level 3 emergency.
It was a level 3 emergency. Yeah.
Us essential workers had to get here.
Yeah, the essential sports talk show host needed to be here.
We're essential. We got to take calls and push buttons. Oh, you know?
Shout out to Danny. He's
all right,
great.
Danny,
great.
Well done, man.
Who you got next, TLC?
Mike is in New Albany.
Mike, what's up? Welcome in. The floor is yours.
Oh, thank you much. I got to follow that. Adult, you know, days off. What the heck? I'm also a level 3. I work at Children's Hospital, so I had to be at work. In fact, I had to take a doctor into work. But I want to know, Maddie, when are we printing the shirts for the Reds? I am so stoked about Suarez. I called a couple weeks ago about trading Ellie. I think that's still on the table down the road. But I want to know they're getting pitching. It looks like they're really going to try to make a good run at this. I'm starting to really get excited about my Reds again that I haven't felt in a while.
I'm feeling your.
Where are we going?
I'm feeling your excitement.
Where do I get my shirt?
Yeah, listen, man. I'm not going to curse us yet. I'm not going to curse us yet. But I am with you as far as my level of excitement. The pitching should be there. I think they need one more bat to really be a serious team. But look, they got in the playoffs last year. But now you just want to see effort from the front office. They've done that. And Ellie, I think if he can stay healthy, he wasn't healthy the second half of the year, he'll be a much better player than what we saw. But yeah, the young core is there. Now they got a vet in the middle of their lineup. There's definitely a little bit more optimism today. So I'm sharing that with you.
Mm. They were a good story last
year. They were.
I'm not going to deny that. They were. And I just would temper, Mike, the old building on that success, because we'll see. I like Suarez. That's a former Red. That's a really good start. And where's Hunter Greene and Brady Singer? Are they?
They're all locked in. Yeah,
locked in.
Yeah, they're
okay.
Yeah,
all right, because I thought they were being floated out there.
That's the strength of the team that's been out there is AR that maybe they would trade one of the youngest, but I don't think they would trade Hunter Greene at this point. But yeah,
he's too good for that.
I agree. It comes back to the core of Ellie and McLean and CES and these young guys that they've drafted fairly high. They got to go. If they can start cooking, then the ceiling of the team obviously gets raised a lot higher.
Mike does realize that printing the shirts is a bad thing.
Yeah.
Well, the reward of printing the shirts is awesome. It is. But usually when I say it,
yeah,
you know, I got a low batting average with that. Even though I mentioned it, you know, about a month out from the season ending for TLC Steelers. And, you know, that worked out.
You printed the shirts. You can print the shirts all you want to. What continent are you sending them to?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know.
America?
Yes, that's right.
North America?
Yes.
Perhaps?
Here.
How about the other baseball team, by the way, with the Jose Ramirez extension? That's kind of shocking for a player who's, I don't want to do the whole Hall of Fame debate, but like he has been.
He's going. He's stamped. He's a stamped
one of the best players in baseball, really underratedly so.
Yeah.
Primarily just because of the team that he's on. And he doesn't really have a co-star. He kind of had it with Lindor, but obviously they weren't going to sign him to that extension. But Jose Ramirez staying in Cleveland for as long as he has and as long as he will, that's lightning in a bottle for Guardians fans who spent so much time, too, like in my childhood, going from back-to-back Cy Young winners with CC Sabathia and Cliff Lee, and you just knew that you were the farm system for everybody else. At least you have one guy to hold on to.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you, man. And AR absolutely think he's going to Cooperstown. He's got multiple top five finishes as an MVP. Multiple. It just happens to be on the side of the league that had Shohei Ohtani and now has Aaron Judge. And so I think he would have won MVP, an MVP or two if it wasn't for those guys. But yeah, he is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, listen, I'm several times on the show, I think over the last year, I've called him the most underrated player in the game. And maybe just because he's small and he plays in Cleveland and he hasn't had a lot of success team-wise. And the fact that this is the guy you probably pay what you pay, even at his age, to finish his career there, it's a little iffy, but he's been very consistent. You're talking about you said the Reds need another power bat. That's what the Guardians need. Guardians need a power bat. Even if, like Kwan and it's just not enough.
Yeah.
I like Manzardo. I like Kwan. I like these guys. They're a fun team, but that
Bizana's
team,
coming up.
Yeah, the 1-1 in the draft.
Travis Bizana.
Oregon State, I believe. Yeah.
He's a top prospect.
But no, Air, you're all over it. We've watched this team get to the playoffs.
Take a shot at somebody.
Win the AL Central, and they're doing it by grinding with pitching and defense. Sometimes you got to, you know, have a little bit more than that if you really want to go further in the playoffs.
All right, who's cleaning this up for us?
All right, let's find out if Vaughn is a Buckeye fan or a Georgia fan. I'm going to say he's a Georgia fan today because we're talking about Todd Monken being hired as a head coach.
Yes, and Kirby gave him his flowers.
Yeah. What up, Vaughn?
Vaughn, floor is yours.
Absolutely a Georgia fan. You know, Monken brought us two national championships, and he's still riding that wave, you know, into a head coaching job. I honestly wish he would come back because who is it, Bobo? He just blows me. Hopefully Arthur Smith doesn't go that way. You know, I have to switch to the Buckeyes for you guys. Because how do you feel, Cole, as a Steelers fan, after just seeing like run, screen, tight end hitch, like, oh my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That just couldn't be a Buckeyes offense. Like, you couldn't even imagine that. That would be horrible.
Well, I was joking with my friends. I said, if you loved 13 personnel as it was, which they didn't, because there's been a lot of tight end talk around here. If you like the 13 personnel, then you're going to love it when it's 13 personnel with a bonus tackle and zero receivers on the field. So, get ready.
Smith playing tackle.
Yeah, exactly. Coming in for some crackback blocks. But no, I part of that is that I question, is that what Arthur Smith always wanted to do, or did he feel like he had to because of the personnel, the limited personnel,
I think it was that
in terms of perimeter weapons that he had in Pittsburgh?
They said that. Wasn't he at the Falcons? Am I missing that?
No, he was Atlanta's head coach for a few years.
Yes, he
went 7-10 3 years in a row.
He had weapons there. He had weapons. As a Buccaneers fan, I was kind of scared, but like they would always let it down. I don't, because they had a defense there for a while, too. They were just always mediocre. I'm not really mad at Arthur Smith. I just thought I would take an Ohio State shot.
great job on Party Like a Rockstar, because you guys really like had it set in that there is really barely any football left. So we got NBA talk, we got golf talk, we got, what else did we get? You guys nailed it.
Baseball, 2 seconds ago.
Baseball and tennis.
And wrestling. Roman Reigns.
Alcaraz, great pool,
Yeah. But I think that is a little bit of the, what word do I want to use? There's a little pause, I think, from some Buckeye fans, AR, that we've talked to, that I've talked to, when it comes to what they've seen from an Arthur Smith-led offense. In Pittsburgh this past year, the pace was very slow. They were last in the league in plays ran. But I think what TLC brought up is what was really happening. Like, if we were drafting playmaking cores, I don't think the Steelers would be drafted very high, right? And when you look at what they had outside of DK Metcalf, you know, Jalen Warren had his moments every once in a while, but there wasn't a lot of toys to really play with as an offensive coordinator. And so you just have to hope at this point that that really isn't who he wants to be all the time. Because if that is the case, then I could see some Buckeye fans in time getting frustrated with what the offense will look and feel like.
Last thing you want is to describe your offense as boring. Now, boring is okay if it's winning. It got boring late last year, and it was bad. So boring and bad, that's an awful combination. And I think that this is part of this is the personnel that he had with the Steelers. They leaned into what their identity was with the two running backs and the tight ends, and the quarterback that he had only had a ceiling, or he had a ceiling. So, and I thought, listen, at times Rodgers threw a pretty football. He really did. What was that throw down the middle to Freiermuth? That guy, I mean, like he still had a laser every now and then, but those weapons weren't scaring people.
No.
And they had to win it the old-fashioned way, with an old defense and a running game and that identity. There's no way he could come here. And like I said, I'm not saying you have to ignore what his strengths may be, which is, you know, getting this run game up to speed. But it'll be a combination.
Gordon Ramsay goes into a kitchen, AR, and the only thing that's available is Ritz crackers and apple slices. You know, you're not going to be that impressed with the meal. But if you give him, you know, a nice filet and maybe some asparagus and some other stuff, Gordon Ramsay is going to show you how good of a chef he is. And I think the ingredients here in Columbus are as good as you can get around college football. And there's always going to be, I think, a safe floor with the weapons that they have. It's all about, when you come into a place like this, can you raise the ceiling to higher heights? And we saw Chip Kelly do that. We saw it last year on defense with Matt Patricia, right? And there were some people questioning what the Matt Patricia thing was going to look like based off of some of the stuff he did in the NFL. And you saw, once he could lock in with really good players to one specific unit of the team, he showed he's an absolute dude. And so that's just what you got to hope for with Arthur.
Yeah.
Stupid sandwich.
Hopefully it's not the ending of the movie The Menu.
Okay, that movie was fire. Crazy. That was a really good movie, though. Yeah. The cast was strong. And by the way, the
Burns is great.
The burger he makes her at the end looks like one of the best
through the screen
burgers I've ever seen.
Well, and she took it to go, which was smart.
Was the cast stronger than the movie Heat?
The cast was probably not on paper, but the movie may be better. Do not bring that up again. If Jose Ramirez is the most underrated player in baseball, Heat may be the most overrated movie in the last however many years.
The head chef in The Menu, I believe, is the same man that plays Lord Voldemort in Harry Potter. I think that's
Fiennes.
Him. Can't imagine how much money he's made off that.
Great actor.
He who shall not be named.
Barney Rubble, what an actor. We're going to come back with projecting of the 27 bracket. One guy says he's got it. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
Care Heating and
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.
Bishop and Friends.
I always felt like if you're going to give me a breakfast pastry out of a box, the toaster strudel is significantly superior to the Pop-Tart.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Scattered snow showers today, mainly south of I-70, looking at accumulations. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with highs in the low 30s. For tonight, mostly cloudy with our lows in the single digits again, and then mostly sunny on Wednesday with daytime highs topping out in the mid to low 20s. I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb. The Fan. No one funks up the work microwave like these two. Fish again? You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Time is foul bottom of the hour. Get some inside info on whether Jim Schwartz has truly packed his bags. Or has had someone else pack his bags for him. Mm. Has your bag been in your possession since you arrived? Did anyone else pack your bag for you?
Are you a good packer? Like in your suitcase? I'm not good at it. Like I just, the shoes and just all of that, like it kind of stresses me out before I go on a trip.
How many shoes do you really want to take on a trip?
Well, you know, it depends on how long we're going. Like if we're going... Let's go Thursday to Sunday, and there's three dinners planned. There's three different pair of shoes right there.
Okay, that I can't be doing that.
You know, and then we might
have an innings eater, Rothman.
We might have,
yes, for sure.
The golf shoes in there. Yeah, it's a problem.
Oh no,
it's a problem.
You hit on something that's rough. I got to be playing at least two rounds of golf for me to even think about shipping my clubs.
That's fair.
Like that's fair. If not, I'm not playing.
You wouldn't rent out there for one round?
Nah, I had one bad experience with rented clubs.
Okay.
Couldn't hit it sideways. I couldn't hit it anyway.
Okay.
It's awful. So I feel like that's a commitment.
Yeah. I know there's people that have it like down to a science. Like I was watching this one guy on YouTube and he was like walking you through how like you roll certain things.
Yeah,
you fold certain things. Like, but yeah, I'm not.
The rolling I've heard about. I've seen it.
Yeah, no, it's real.
Yeah.
It's real.
Not that. I saw you smile. I don't even have it. Where is it? Where is it?
Play it.
I don't have it.
Where's it at?
I took it out of my array.
Where is it at, AR? It's the question of the day. Come on.
I don't have it.
Oh, no. That's an upset. I need it. You know, it's one of my favorite drops you got.
Somebody's been messing with my stuff.
You know what I'm saying?
3, 2, let's see.
Where the weed at? That type of rolling we're doing? Okay.
Oh, you're talking about packing a suitcase. I understand.
Oh, man.
Who sparked this bowl conversation? All right. Let's get to our guy, Brad Crawford. We've had him on the program, yeah. CBS Sports.
Does a great job covering college football, yeah.
He's locked in.
Yeah, he is.
He's got his way too early CFP projection.
Let's go.
And I was kind of surprised at who he has at number one.
What surprises you more, sir, when you looked at it, who the number one team was or where the old Scarlet and Gray is?
Boy, that's about a 50-50 lemon line. That's because I noticed both. Because actually, when we were during the break, I said, how does he have Ohio State at 8? And then I looked at you and said, I wonder if that's a scheduling thing because you know what this schedule is.
He's not even listening.
You missed it.
It's all right.
You missed your cue. It's okay. It's gone. It's over. You missed your cue. You were reading something. It may have been important. We're not sure.
It's that, you know, that, what's he got, that offshore tab or whatever
it's
it is?
The incognito browser.
The dark web browser.
That's
what he was looking at. But, AR, you were on to something because where your mind went is where Brad Crawford is. His reasoning right now for having Ohio State 8th and his way too early, you know, 12-team bracket is this. The last time the Buckeyes made the playoff as the 8th seed, they won 4 straight games en route to a national championship. While it's the ideal end result, there's going to be doubt associated with the 2026 team entering the postseason, given how difficult the schedule is for Ryan Day's team. Not only will Ohio State go to Texas in September, the Buckeyes have to deal with Indiana, Oregon, Michigan, and USC in conference play. Julian Sain and Jeremiah Smith may be terrific, but that's a daunting slate.
When did it change from that Ohio State has to deal with all these teams versus that all those teams have to deal with them? Like, when did this flip?
I don't know if it's that as much as you're being exposed more this time around this season to better teams. And there's more, more punches you can take than when you go up against some of the teams that they played last year. And so you're putting yourself in some stickier situations. I hear what you're saying, though, because when that helmet comes out of the tunnel, whether it's here at the Shoe or no matter where the game is played, there's always going to be a feel that Ohio State can beat anybody. But when you do have to go through the teams that he mentioned, you're just exposed a little bit more.
Well, it's good. This is the old Tom Izzo philosophy. I want to expose my weaknesses early in the season. I want to be as battle-tested as possible when we get to March, and it's worked out pretty well. The gamble is that if you don't win enough games, you're not getting to the big dance.
Right.
This is a different beast. We all believe Ohio State's going to have a record enough to get them into the top 12, even with this schedule. Like, even if...
I can't wait to see where Vegas has their over-under at. That's going to be so fun to figure out where Vegas thinks they're going to be. Because they're usually what?
It's got to be 10.
10 and a half, 11 and a half, whatever, something like that.
Yeah. I think it's got to be right around, do you believe that they're a two-loss football team in the regular season or not?
I won't be surprised if it's 9.5. That's not going to shock me if it's there. I think they're better than that and will be. But that number won't surprise me if Vegas hits them with a 9.5 this year.
Well, let's take a look at the schedule. And because if it's 9.5, I mean, everyone's going to be taking the over.
Mm-hmm.
Because that means you get two losses and still win the bet. Like, that's like, now, right. If you get by Tech, you got to get by Texas. You can't take an L in the non-conference if you want to really feel good about this bet.
That'll be a tough environment.
Because then you've got the tricky, and that's all I'll say is tricky, the games that get your attention. It are at Iowa, at Indiana, potentially at USC and Oregon here. It's a gauntlet.
Exactly. There it is. A couple minutes late, but you're here now. Better late than never, TLC.
I mean, it's
that's good stuff.
And then that spooky game at the end of November at Nebraska.
Well, and then yeah.
I wanted to see if you guys picked up on that. It's a trap game.
We forgot about week one and what that is.
The buildup.
The ramp up. Hey, Coach Day, are you guys pretty happy that you get a ramp up game for Texas with Ball State?
But yeah, and then you mentioned all those games they are, and then there's the one against you know who at the end of the year.
You're probably right. And 9.5 probably is the number.
It may be there. Yeah. You know, Kyle Whittingham is, I don't know if he'll have it in year one, but it'll be a fundamentally sound team that'll have a year two quarterback that should be better than Bryce Underwood, but there's just no. You can't push back on that this schedule this year is tougher on paper right now than what they just went through.
All right, go through his top 12. Okay. So Miami, you say? So Miami is number one he's got. Now, I don't know what their situation is. They signed the Duke transfer quarterback, Darian Mensah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they'll get into the portal. This is the hardest part about predicting all this is that I know they've added a couple pieces on the defense, which is nice. And he loves the line play. Like, he's building from the inside out, so that's a big factor.
They're going to lose a couple dudes, right? Bain is going to the league. Mesidor, did he declare already? I'm sure he did.
Oh, they're going to lose Mesidor and Bain, I imagine. And then the tackle on the offense.
Right, he's a dude as well who might, so I know some Browns fans may be interested in him. But
so they're number one.
They're number one.
That's high.
And, look, the talent is there. The recruiting classes have been there. And I think you have to, at this point, kind of trust as a Miami fan Cristobal's eye for talent at the quarterback position, similar to what Cignetti's got going on, right? Because it's Cam Ward and it's Carson Beck. And then so in Indiana, we know it was Curtis Work and then Fernando Mendoza. And so, yeah, that was a bit of a surprise that Brad would be leaning that way. We've got to get Brad on soon.
Too?
TLC's boys, the Golden Domers out of South Bend, Indiana.
Okay, so the question at quarterback that they don't have one anymore. Now, that's the good news for them.
Yeah, CJ's legit.
Yep. They lose Jeremiah Love and Prince. So, I think that you've got some good... The good news for you is you got Quincy Porter and Mylon Graham. Like, you got...
Yep.
You got some dudes added to the mix, and I think your offensive line is going to be good. Your defensive line, I think, is also going to be good.
I hope so, because that was the big Achilles.
You got some
transfer.
You got the Bama kid and another guy from Pitt, I think. So
it'll be interesting for me to see what they have coming out of the backfield, right? Because Jeremiah Love could go, right? And that dude, in the blink of an eye, if he got to that second level and made somebody miss, he was gone. And so with CJ there, maybe he can make up for some of that. It's wait and see mode with the weapons, right, that came from Ohio State, because those guys haven't done that much. But if you just want to go off what they were coming out of high school and recruiting rankings and all that, I can understand why people would be excited about what they potentially could do.
Yeah, I'm okay with Emmett too. Who's got a three?
The Longhorns.
They got
the Longhorns at three to round out the top five. AR Indiana at four, and then Texas Tech at five. And we know Texas Tech down there has been spending a lot of money to put out, you know, a good product, or hopefully put
Brendan
out.
Sorsby.
Yeah, comes in from Cincinnati. Very productive last year. Reports out there that they're paying this dude $4 to $5 million. Who knows? You never really know with that type of stuff. But if you are down there and you're a Texas Tech,
you know,
investor or part of these collectives or whatever, this is where you expect to be, is to have these type of expectations, because they have been spending a lot of millions down there in Lubbock.
Yeah, I mean, it's still the Big 12. Like, I'm really not sure what to think about them when they get to the playoff. Their defense lost a lot. They've kind of reloaded up front, and I think their overall talent is probably the best in that conference, but that's a lot of pressure.
It is, for sure. And Sorsby is what they needed with last year's team, because they were one of those teams, you know, I kind of throw out AR, when the face of your team or whatever is a defensive player, usually you're going to be, you know, going up in an uphill climb. Jacob Rodriguez was a monster at linebacker. They just didn't have the spark on offense they needed. I think Sorsby will provide that for them.
Two teams that I'm surprised are missing. One is Georgia and the other is Oregon. Where does he have them?
6 and 7.
6 and 7.
Georgia at 6, Oregon at 7.
Okay.
Yep.
Oregon lost a lot in the portal, right?
They got the trigger man back.
They got him back. That was key.
Yeah, it was.
All right, we're going to come back in 2 minutes with our friend Tyvus Powell. We'll get the read on the Todd Monken presser and find out if he expects Jim Schwartz to be in the fold. Rothman and I.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.
Six.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present Breaking Down the Browns with Tyvus Powell.
Indeed we are. The baller from Bedford. No, I'm good. Okay.
See, what happens here is we have like these really quick breaks. And so during these breaks, we try to eat and stuff like that. And I think, AR, we got a little rice pellet in there that got you choked up a little bit. Well, AR's getting his act together. T, what up? TP in the building. How we feeling?
I'm doing good. How you gentlemen doing today?
Well, we're doing just fine today, sir. Thanks for calling into the show. Let me ask you this. Did you were you locked into the press conference today?
I was not locked in, but I definitely read some of the comments.
All right. Let's get to the one that we thought would be fastball up and in early that wasn't. He says he's talked to Jim Schwartz, but it would be inappropriate to comment on that. How should I read into this? It sounds like this is not going to be put in reverse, or am I wrong?
No, I looked at it as Jim Schwartz is out of there. You know, I thought the most telling part of it all was when he said, regardless of Jim Schwartz is here or not, we're going to run that similar scheme, and we got players like Myles Garrett. I took this job because of players like Myles Garrett, not Jim Schwartz. And when he said that right there, I said, oh, well, it's done. It's over with.
Have you let your mind wander down the road of who would be next if it isn't Jim Schwartz? Is there somebody that's in-house, a guy around the league that you like, that it's available, that would take over that position and you feel pretty good about?
Well, I'll tell you what, one of the guys that was present at the meeting was Jason Tarver, a linebacker's coach. He just so happened to be at the press conference. So I was like, you know, he's a guy that's done a really good job of getting these linebackers, Carson Schwessinger, JOK, all of those guys have been playing really well. He knows Jim Schwartz's defense. You could definitely just promote him as make him DC.
What do you think about, you know, Todd Monken coming out and saying today that he's going to call plays? Do you like a head coach, whether it's on offense or defense, that is the play caller?
I don't have an issue with it. I think people make more of that than what it is. You know, I think that when you look at Mike McDonald, he calls the defense for Seattle. Sean McVay calls the offense for the Rams. Like, if you can do it and you're skillful at it, why not? Why? That's half the reason that you probably got the job to begin with. So you might as well lean into it. Until things get rolling, then you can slowly take your foot off of that gas and allow somebody else to do it. But when you first-time head coach, absolutely. If I'm going down, calling these plays.
Yeah, no, I get that. I respect that. So let's stay there. Walk us through when there is a head coach that is the play caller for whatever side of the ball, but there's also as a defensive or offensive coordinator. For that coordinator, what's their role like when they aren't the play caller?
It's probably just sitting down, going over film, you know, making sure the guys understand what the game plan is. I think that the head coach, obviously, he has to get both sides ready, so he can't zero in on one thing. So you have to truly believe in your offensive coordinator being able to relay the message. You know, this is the game plan. Making sure that the install is in, making sure that all the offense understand what the game plan is. And then when we get to game day, you're just handling the play call, or the head coach is handling the responsibility of actually calling the plays. But the OC is the guy who's pretty much prepped them, got the players ready, making sure that they understand what calls is going in this week, those type of things.
QB1 is up for grabs. It should be up for grabs, right? And the first question he got today was about whether Shador would go into the offseason as their QB1 and what his approach would be toward the position. He certainly didn't reveal much about his plans, and I don't think he should. He should be non-committal at that position. But what's your read on where he will go?
I think that when you start OTAs, I think Shador Sanders will be taking first team reps. I think that. I think you want to make it an open competition for OTAs because you want to see what you got. You want those guys to come out there and compete. I think you rotate all three guys with the ones different days to see, you know, who's doing better. What's the chemistry with different players and things like that. I think by the time you get to training camp, that open competition thing can't be a thing. You have to make sure that your depth chart is boom, 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 1, 2, 3, and it's set in stone. I don't want to go through what we went through last year, but I definitely want a motivated Deshaun Watson. I want a motivated Shador Sanders, and I want a motivated Dylan Gabriel to go out there and show me the best, who can pick up the playbook the fastest, who makes the right reads, goes to the right place, who got the best chemistry with the players. I think all of that is important, and I don't think naming a guy right now before seeing it, you know, is smart.
Let me throw this hypothetical at you. Let's say the Raiders open things up and they say, we're open for business for the number one overall pick. Would you want the Browns to package up their ones and try to get to the number one overall pick if we lived in that world?
No, because I'm not that high on Fernando Mendoza to begin with, and I think that the Browns got bigger issues than just quarterback. I think it's going to take a couple of years to do that. I think, you know, and whether you with Shador or against Shador, you want Shador to be the starting quarterback this year, because if Shador is the starting quarterback this year and he does well, well, now you got your franchise guy that you could build around. If Shador is your starting quarterback this year and he does bad, then you got the number one pick in the draft. You can get another quarterback. So, honestly, Shador Sanders is the best answer for the Cleveland Browns this particular season, because good or bad, you can get a good answer. You get a good outcome.
Would you like to play for Monken? And does he, I mean, what you know of him and everything that he's about, he's been around a lot. Where are you on this being the right pick for Cleveland?
I love a straight shooter. I like a guy that just tell it like it is. Me and those guys get along pretty good, you know, because I have no problem telling it like it is myself. So, therefore, I think I can play for a guy like, he's very old school, you know, it's not afraid to call you out. And I think that is what this Browns team needs. You got to remember that this Browns roster will be young. It will be full of first and second year players on that team. Yes, you got Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, Grandale Pitt. You got those guys. But on the majority of these players, at least half the roster will be consist of first and second year players. You need those guys to be whipped into shape, make sure that these guys understand how to win. And the most important thing that Todd Monken can do is teach this Browns team how to not beat themselves. That is the number one thing that the Browns need to learn, how to not beat yourself, how to not commit penalties, how to not turn the ball over. Those are things that was a huge issue under Kevin Stefanski. And if you want to start somewhere, start there.
There's questions down in Dallas about what the Cowboys are going to do when it comes to George Pickens. Let's say he is going to be a free agent, but they don't use the tag on him. Would you be comfortable with giving a guy like Pickens a 4 or 5 year deal or whatever that may look like?
100% they're going to franchise tag him. If he was available, I sure would take him. He played for Todd Monken at Georgia. I brought that up on Cleveland Browns Daily last week. I don't think it's an option. I think it's just far-fetched. But I have no issue with a guy just because he got some attitude stuff. That's good. That's what you need. You can feed off of that. That's what this team needs, a dog. So, I would be in for that for sure.
Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Come on, man. You know I played a year.
I want to know what you believe. I want to know what you believe.
I was rocking with the LOB back in the day. They gave me my first opportunity to make a childhood dream come true. I got nothing but love and respect for Seattle. I got to go with the Hawks.
Okay. I know your Cleveland Cavalier James Harden jersey is on the way, right? That's in your cart already, right?
No, it's not, because everybody knows how I feel about Darius Garland, but I think with all of these reports, there's absolutely no way. I'm still holding out hope for Giannis, because if Giannis comes to Cleveland, I am going to be unbearable. You hear me? Unbearable. I'm buying everything.
That's your guy. Yeah, that's your guy. I get that. They probably would have to give up Evan, though, in that trade.
That's
fine.
Please.
I'm just saying. I'm with you on that. I'm with you. Okay. I'm with you. Yeah. Getting him to Cleveland, I think, is a kind of unrealistic. But the Harden thing, I wouldn't be mad at it. There's obviously a short runway with him, and you're getting an offensive point guard for a younger offensive point guard. I just think they don't trust Darius' health anymore. I think they're trying to get off that because of that.
Yeah, that's probably exactly what it is. I mean, with Harden, he does stay healthy. He's notorious for not showing up in the playoffs, so you're getting that same result there. But, you know, at least you'll have a guy who can handle the ball. You know, I think in the playoffs, teams just really blitz Donovan and get the ball out of his hands, and we didn't have another ball handler. When you think about that Pacers series, it was Donovan literally had to go for 50 points. There was nobody else that could do anything, and Darius wasn't available, and that's been the thing. Darius has just not been available, but when he's out there, that offense is one of the best in the league, so you just can't depend on his health. That's the problem.
Didn't the Seahawks release you twice?
They did. Now, the first time they released me, I would have released me, too. I mean, you're releasing me for a Hall of Famer in the name of Devin Hester. Mm-hmm. I mean, who am I to argue with that? And then the second time they released me, I was on practice squad. They released me. I wasn't getting the job done, so they moved on, and I went to San Francisco, which that's part of the business.
You truly believe, though, they're the better – forgetting about your emotional attachment. If you didn't have one to Seattle, would you still be picking them Sunday?
Yeah, okay. I think they're the better team top to bottom. Yeah. I think they got the most to offer. I mean, JSN is playing magical. Sam Darnold seems to have figured things out offensively as a quarterback. I think him being a veteran is what's probably going to propel them. But I tell you what, the one thing that people sleeping on about the Patriots do not allow teams to run the ball. So this game will be put in Sam Darnold's hands. He will have to find a way to win this game, and we will know if he is of that ilk, because the Patriots have not allowed people to run the ball all season, and I don't think that's going to change in this championship game.
He was checked down Charlie, though, against the Rams. I mean, Darnold did a pretty good job using K-9, so I'm sure that'll be the plan on Sunday as well, bud. All right.
Yeah.
Great, great work as always. Thanks for jumping on. We'll talk to you soon. Be well.
Y'all as well. Go Browns, go Bucks, go Cavs, go Guards, free Classe, and go Jackets.
Nice. Dropping the CBJ in there, jumping on the heater. That's good. Good for you. All right. We're going to come back with a Buckeye Bulletin. Dunk. We're going to come back with a Buckeye Bulletin and Ryan Day on the next step for his QB. You'll hear it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Who y'all look at as, like, that's the best basketball player of all time. I'm a Giannis guy.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
God damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joe.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Come.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Buy 4 windows and get 4 free plus an extra 10% off from windownation.com.
All right, Buckeye Bulletin time. We talked a lot about what we think Arthur Smith could bring to this offense. And what he'll have to work with. TLC, you have some of these Ryan Day sound bites from the other day?
I sure do.
Okay.
Would you like to start out with Portal, Julian Sand, or the new wide receiver coach?
Yeah, let's pay off on that middle one, the Julian returning, and what next step he's got to make.
Really excited that Julian's coming back. You know, and again, when you say coming back, like, I think maybe a lot of people just assume that. Well, you know, every year it's a different deal. So, you know, Julian, you know, has been awesome here and really, you know, wants to make sure that we have guys around him and an offense together that we can go, you know, win the whole thing, as you know, and reach our goals. And so, you know, Julian is going to have a huge offseason. Julian is really going to dive into this thing and take the next step. Again, one of the youngest guys to get to New York City, I think, in a while. Most of the guys who have been going there are older guys. So we're all excited about, you know, this year for him and taking the next step, even as a leader and all the different things. But obviously a great first year for him.
It was. Statistically, it was a very good year, and he also was incredibly accurate. What happened was, when they went up against a really good defensive line and two defenses in Miami and Indiana, it showed itself that he was not processing at the same speed. So that's certainly something that will evolve. Him mentioning that it's not a given that he was coming back just shines more of a light on the pressure they feel financially to make sure that there was no even option that he would leave.
I think there's a lot of coaches, too, that probably feel the same way Coach Day does. That yep. Just at any moment you could get a call from one of your star players and they could be tempted, you know, by another program because they're coming to the table with a couple hundred thousand more, another million or two, or whatever the situation may be, because, you know, these guys are chasing bags right now. They're chasing bags and they're chasing opportunities, and I can't knock them for it. That's the system that's, you know, being allowed right now in college football. And so, yeah, I understand what he means by that, because I have to imagine there were some programs that probably had a guy going out or a guy that they have in-house that they want to, you know, level up and looked at, you know, can we call a Julian Sander? Can we call a Dante Moore, whoever, and try to get him out of Oregon and Columbus? But not, obviously, you don't have to worry about that. But where he takes his game in year number two is going to be fun to see. And I think, you know, no matter what level you're at,
whether you're a rookie in the NFL or a guy in year one in college football, you got to go through some tough-ish times, right? And I think then you can come out on the other side a better player. So hopefully that'll be the case. And you brought up what was absolutely true. When you have a quarterback that isn't known for being able to elude a whole bunch of pressure or is really, you know, twitched up at a high level to take it to the house with his legs or whatever it is, like, you're going to get exposed to a certain degree as a quarterback when you don't have the time to do what you're really, really meant to do, and that's spin it at a high clip. And so the mobility, I'm sure, you know, is something that they talked to him about this offseason and trying to get better. He doesn't have to get crazy in a Lamar Jackson type of way, good at that, but he brings to the table what he brought to the table this year. You'll take that all day and tomorrow, because that means you got one of the five best players in the sport. You just got to hope that when you meet up with some of these bigger programs that he can have time to do what he does best.
The only way Julian Sain would have left Ohio State if it was for more money, a considerable amount more.
Yeah.
And it had to be a great place to compete for a championship and a Heisman. You can't get this close and, like Coach Day said, get to New York and feel like you want to just kind of, give me a little more money here and I'm your guy. Like, that's not who this kid is. Now, that I say that knowing that he wasn't going to give Ohio State some massive pay cut discount to stay because he felt like he had earned maybe, or maybe they already feel like they were paying him even more than what he had earned before he had earned last year. I don't know.
Yeah,
for some of these guys, the only reason.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right. For some of these guys, they probably do go into the offseason with kind of the Fat Joe thinking yesterday's price isn't today's price. And like I said, I get that. But you have to have the levers to do that. Julian was one of those guys. But I think based off how we've seen him go about his business, the way that he seems to be wired, that would have been an upset if he would have gone down that path. But when you are Julian, you look around, you look at Jeremiah Smith, you look at Brandon Ennis coming back, a Chris Henry Jr. guy coming back that's very talented. Can't wait to see what Legend Bay looks like, you know, as a young guy as well. And so he's in good hands. He's in a really good position. And there's a bunch of quarterbacks that would love to be in the spot that he's in.
The guys you worry about sometimes are the guys behind the guy, like, who know they're not going to see the field.
Right.
They're not going to, you know,
right.
Yeah. Do I stick around? Do I get a forecast of whether this guy's going to leave or not?
Mm-hmm.
And then is it worth for me to stick around another year, hoping that when he does take off in 27, I've got the gig?
Yeah, and that's why I would love to know, AR, what Dan Lanning sold to Dylan Raiola. Because he committed before Dante Moore made his call. And maybe he is okay with, hey, I need to sit down for a little bit and get this thing figured out. But, man, that news had to be a bit of a surprise to him, because now he's going to have to wait a whole another year to be a starter. But who knows? I don't know. Maybe he's good with that. Because Dante Moore did it. He signed on with Oregon.
He got injured, right?
He was banged up a little bit, yeah. I think he was banged up.
Break his leg or something?
Pretty significant. I think it was.
Yeah, I thought there was something there. That maybe
he did get knocked out for the year.
Yeah, I think that impacted his timeline a little bit. And maybe they were going to invest financially in him. He saw that as a
little rehab year on us.
Yeah.
Okay. Come make some coin. We'll take care of you.
Possibly.
We'll see you in 27.
Yeah, because I think you bring up a good point that why would he have done that? And I just feel like
the injury probably paid
a factor. The healing of it all probably factored into the timeline.
That's a good call.
What else you got?
Here's him talking about his new receivers coach.
When Brian took the South Florida job, you know, one of the things we wanted to do was make sure that we replaced somebody with a really good coach. And Cortez is somebody that not only made an impact on some of the guys that are already here in the recruiting process, but he's coached some really high-end guys. And it doesn't take long for you to spend some time with him to realize just how intelligent he is, how much he relates well to the players. And so when he came up, you know, in conversations, you know, we looked at, as you can imagine, we looked at everybody in the country. When we brought him on a visit, you know, we kind of had him go in the room with some of the receivers. And by the end, you know, and they got out of the meeting, you know, they were all nodding their head like, this is our guy. And I think it's important for them to have some ownership with that. So, you know, he's off to a good start. So that was an important part of it.
I'm not saying that doesn't sell. Because if you know that he's worked with Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, that result says that both guys were picked in the first round of the draft, I could see myself nodding coming out of that meeting, too.
I'm in.
Because
right.
That doesn't happen all that much.
No doubt. Hey, fellas, take care of yourself. Some of you guys may be a point in your life to where things aren't firing the way that they used to. Let's get that corrected by going to see the great folks at the Columbus Men's Clinic. If you're noticing issues with ED or low T, then your confidence is taking a hit. Maybe even your relationships have taken a hit because you're just not who you're supposed to be. Let's get that corrected immediately. So no more excuses. The Columbus Men's Clinic has a medical provider focused solely on ED and low T and doing it the right way since 2014. So now for over a decade, they've been helping men get safe with effective treatment. So call them at 614-300-7400 right now, or you can book online in under 30 seconds at columbusmensclinic.com. The longer you wait, the worse these things get. So again, call them at 614-300-7400 right now, or you can book online in under 30 seconds at columbusmensclinic.com.
All right, coming up top of the hour, we'll do a deep dive. And would this NFL team do the unthinkable? And if they do, which team would love to jump in? We'll tell you next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Catch T-Bone and Tyvus weekday mornings from 6 to 9. If you're not completely satisfied, we'll rewind time and erase your brain. For real, the Fan.
Listen to
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg. New Browns head coach Todd Monken was introduced to the media today. While he's an offensive mind and will call plays on that side, he plans to keep the defensive system the same.
We're going to keep the same system. We're still going to let them attack. We're still going to let them play free. I can't see any other way. They're a big reason why I took this job. The defensive players. I didn't take this job because of Jim Schwartz.
Monken proceeded to give no comment on whether Schwartz will stay. NBA ESPN reported the Grizzlies are trading star forward Jaren Jackson Jr., John Conchar, Jock Landale, and Vince Williams Jr. to the Jazz for Walter Clayton, Kyle Anderson, Taylor Hendricks, George Niang, and three first-rounders. This update is sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call 1-800-MORE-SLEEP or visit sleepbettercolumbus.com. Stop snoring, sleep better, live better. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Low T Center. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
Hour number three, Rothman and Ice, Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes, and the Loose Cannon. We'll get into a little bit of Todd Monken's presser this hour. He didn't really go into much, but I think what he didn't say was saying a lot. So we'll get to that shortly. There was thought that the Raiders are in a pretty wild spot right now. This team has not experienced a lot of good luck. And now they see an opportunity to take the national champion quarterback, albeit out of a very non-traditional program. And I think most people view this as a lock, that it's the most exciting development that the Raiders have had in a while. And when you go back to Khalil Mack and Derek Carr and a couple of the guys that they've been able to get in the first couple rounds of the draft, that was probably the last time, and that's a long time ago. Bowers was, he's a tight end. I mean, there's only so much excitement to go around there. But everything that you and I have seen and every indication is that the first pick is not going to be available. That it's just, it would be interesting to learn about what offers they may be getting, because I think if you are the Raiders over the next couple of months, you're certainly listening. I mean, maybe you're not, maybe you're just kind of placating whoever calls you, but I think in a weird way, you're getting off that phone and you're getting in your room with your guys and saying, okay, I basically told them, I basically laughed, but here's what they had to say. Like, I don't think anybody in that room is saying, I don't want to hear it. We're drafting Mendoza. I don't want to hear it. Yeah. I do think that they are probably discussing everything, even though that's a heavy lean to Fernando.
Yeah, because if somebody comes to the table with, I don't know, three ones or something about crazy three, like that, then you have to consider that. There's no doubt you have to consider that. I'm very fascinated by the role Tom Brady is playing behind the mm-hmm. scenes right now and how much he likes or maybe doesn't like Fernando Mendoza, because it sounds like, and it sounded like over the last couple of years, that Mark Davis is going to lean on him for a situation like this, and why wouldn't you, right? It's Brady. He's been at the top of the mountains, probably the best to ever do it. But that's when you have a chance to grab a guy like Fernando Mendoza, I'd be hard-pressed to really pass on the opportunity, because you just have to take these type of swings. All these guys are lottery tickets. You just really don't know. There's been what we thought are promising prospects that have gotten to the NFL, and it hasn't worked out. There's been the surprises of guys getting drafted third round, fourth round, even later in that have turned into absolute dudes. And so they're in a position now to where they have a chance to strike. And there aren't other options, really, when you look at this draft that you deem worthy of taking number one either. And so I would stay put if I were Las Vegas, unless somebody is just silly with an offer, which is rare. We rarely see anything like that.
So this has been brought up on ESPN, I think, over the last month, because it makes good content. And it's not, I don't think it's, it may be crazy far-fetched in that the odds are against it. It's not realistic that they would trade it, but it's certainly not a lock. Here's Mike Greenberg on Get Up.
I probably wouldn't have the guts to do it if I were sitting in their shoes, but when you're a team with as many glaring needs as they have, I think I could be at least tempted to trade away the first pick in the draft and trying to stockpile and rebuild and hope that Fernando Mendoza is someday talked about the way we talk about Herschel Walker. It doesn't seem like that's the direction this thing is going, Neek, but it is something I think I might be at least a little tempted to do if I were them.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a reasonable and interesting strategy. The problem is you're going to need to get a quarterback at some point. And when are you ever going to be more well-positioned to get a quarterback, a young, talented quarterback, than when you're number one overall? Like, hopefully, you'll never be in this spot again. So I feel like I understand why you would use that pick for this, but it all depends on what you would get back. And I think what you would get back would not be enough. And we've seen that the way you can spend your money with the Patriots, if you get the quarterback, you can spend the money in the offseason, get a good coach, and turn that thing around. But what you can't, like, coach around is having nobody at that position. So they're going to have to use one of those picks that they trade to get to eventually get a quarterback. So why not get him now?
It's not.
That was Dominique Foxworth, too, in that conversation.
It's not so much being at number one and you're in such a great position. It's who's there.
Yep.
And it's about the quarterback and whether you decide that that guy is a franchise quarterback. And I'll give you my example of that. So last year, I think all of us, I remember hearing the Titans were offered two first-rounders for Cam Ward. Like two first and a couple of day two picks to get Cam Ward. And I would say it was probably fortunate that the Titans said no to the team that I believe offered it, which was the New York Giants. And the Giants wound up taking Jackson Dart at, what, 25 or down in the first round. And so most of us sitting here today will say that there's some luck involved in this. The Jackson Dart probably at this point, and I don't know for sure, may have a better upside than Cam Ward. It may not turn out that way because Jackson Dart's run into a brick wall a few times, and Cam Ward's now showing that he certainly has a future. And the Giants were then able to draft Abdul Carter at number three, and they ended up not sending that pick to Tennessee. So if you go to the Raiders were too far down in last year's draft to get Cam Ward or Jackson Dart, and Jackson wasn't considered by most to be a top 10 pick. He just wasn't. And now he looks like he could have been. And so I agree with you guys on the Tom Brady impact, what he thinks of Fernando. He was on the sidelines of that national championship game. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense for them to pick his brain about what he sees, because Brady wasn't a lock. This guy's a lock. Brady was the exact opposite and turns out to be maybe the best ever. So I just wanted to bring up that example of sometimes you're lucky that the team says no.
And to your point, I love that you brought that up, because when you look at what they were able to get, that being the Giants, you're talking about checking two of the most positional boxes on your roster, the quarterback and an elite pass rusher. And those guys, you look at the big money that's getting handed out in the NFL, they're going to those two positions and some others as well. But that's what you want, right, as a franchise, is to have a guy that can hunt on your defensive line and a guy under center that touches the ball all the time. And it's interesting, going back to what Greeny mentioned, then, because there are some people that believe like that's how you should build out a roster, is to build it out around first. I think that's backwards. Like, I think that's backwards. You get the most important position taken care of first. And then I think things will come into play, because if you're trying to piece together, you know, let's get a star corner, a pass rusher, a wide receiver and all that, then you just have to have luck in your favor. And it's very hard to really strike on one. We rarely see elite quarterbacks available in free agency, so you're not getting that. And then two, is luck going to be in your favor to have a bad season but be in position when you're drafting to have either the first overall pick or have the teams above you not wanting those elite quarterbacks that are picking, let's say, in the top five? To me, that's a real challenge for a franchise to do. So the Raiders are here, and I would stay there, and I would draft Fernando Mendoza, and hopefully everything else over the next draft or two will start to come into form, like the example that they use with the New England Patriots.
I think Mendoza is getting this treatment of, is he just college great? And that's a tough one. That goes to people that watch the game a lot more than I do and are talking to people, pro scouts, that know that that arm is not just college great, that that arm can be NFL great. And if he has the right team around him, it also doesn't mean you have to ruin him right away. Like Mahomes sat, like there, I don't know what viable options they really have, but it's not like he has to be ruined, right? I mean, you don't have to couch this guy.
You and I always kind of differ on this topic. Like, I think when you draft a guy this high, I want to play him sooner rather than later. Like, unless your offensive line is just an absolute, you know, joke of a unit, then that's not what you want. But I like in year one where Drake May played a handful of games down the stretch and got that feel. And to me, that's given him and the team the ability to get to where they are this year. And so to your point, there's a couple different ways you can go about it. I just want that time to start ticking and get all the information I can on my young quarterback.
First, you have to decide, and the one thing they probably already have decided, is that he is NFL worthy and then some. That he's the leader, he's tough, he's got an NFL arm, he's proven it on the biggest stages against the best teams. That checks a lot of boxes. This isn't just some stat compiler or some ultra athlete that we're not sure can be a quarterback.
Like Anthony Richardson.
Well, and he had a cannon.
That's what I'm saying. It's the traits of what you're talking about. You just didn't.
This guy has the real deal. He does. So I'm not so sure why some people are like, I'll tell you what I am sure of. I'm sure of the fact that this kid's got an X factor that is real. I saw it. I saw it at the top level. I wasn't even sure about it. Can he throw a pick six? Of course he can. He has. But there's something about him that is more than just, I think he was college great. So if I've established that, now the next level of that is different. The next level of that is he 10-year great? Is he franchise-worthy great? That I'm a little bit reserved on. I think you can win a lot of games with him. I think he's got kind of a Kirk Cousins feel to me. Really good arm, very smart, can be a leader. Not the greatest runner, but clearly has some moves.
And I think for me, too, I try to remove expectations that are attached to him being the 1-1 or the 1-5 in a draft, because I do think that, let's say you took Fernando Mendoza first overall, and he did have a Kirk Cousins-type career up until this point, I would be good with that. Of course, I want the guy that had 1-1, he turned into a Hall of Famer, we win all these Super Bowls, but there are franchises that would die to have a guy at quarterback that just gives you a safe floor. And so, again, you're taking a shot in the dark with all of these guys, but I think if they do end up hitting on Fernando Mendoza out there in Las Vegas, then that maybe that core starts to come together quicker when you got Ashton Jeanty, Brock Bowers, they get some more weapons, and then maybe you're cooking sooner rather than later.
I'm sure their phone is ringing. Whether they're answering or not is up for grabs. Shefty might know that when we talk to him tomorrow. All right, we're going to come back, and we'll hit you with some highlights of the Todd Monken presser. including what he thinks about his defensive coordinator. Where is he, and will he stay? Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
Things people...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
All your favorite and least favorite fan shows are available wherever you get your podcasts. Just type in 971 The Fan to the search bar and hit that subscribe button. It's free.
We're the land of the free and the home of the sunburnt freckled fat guy.
Do it now.
February.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Scattered snow showers today, mainly south of I-70, looking at accumulations. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with highs in the low 30s. For tonight, mostly cloudy with our lows in the single digits again, and then mostly sunny on Wednesday with daytime highs topping out in the mid to low 20s. I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Want to know anything about the fans' contests, how to win, or what's up for grabs? Check out 971thefan.com. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Rockman and Ice present Free Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, Ice, Bet365 time.
It's that time, brother. It's that time. Normal customers at Bet365, just a reminder, keep an eye out for those daily boosts and super boosts. Some really cool stuff they have every single day waiting for you. New customers, they got an awesome deal ready for you right now, where all you're going to have to do is bet $5. After that, you're getting $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could take that $200, turn it into something bigger and better when you bet on spreads, totals, money lines, or player props.
Or even the coin toss. There are two tabs at Bet365 for the big boy. So they have Super Bowl 60, obviously, the game. And then just to the right of that at top, there's the SB specials. And those are the fun ones. Like, will there be a 60-yard field goal kicked? Or will there be the longest receiving touchdown scored? And you just scroll, as TLC likes to say, just doom scroll your way all the way to anything you want. Let your fingers do the walking. And just scroll and scroll and scroll.
Looking at this.
Team to record first sack. Team to record longest punt. Play from scrimmage. All sorts of cool ones.
You can get the coin toss result right now.
Yes.
Both heads and tails available at plus 100.
If one was better than the other, I would have to question something. Like the fact, if you told me, hey, heads is going off at minus 110.
Like, huh?
I'd be like, all right, who's flipping this coin?
Right.
And can we see
exactly,
it?
Exactly, exactly.
So something's off. I'll never forget, I was watching a Manning cast. I think it was last year. And Eli, with a straight face, they were talking about the coin toss and what they choose. And he goes, well, you know, I always picked heads. I mean, you know, heads never fails.
Was he being serious?
He was.
Sometimes with Eli, he gets into his jokes.
He was heads never fails.
I love Eli.
And it wasn't a joke. I think he really thinks that's saying.
I love the Manning cast. It's fun.
All right, so don't make me bet hockey.
Do what you do it.
Don't make me sing.
Scared money don't make no money.
Don't make me sing.
Risk it for the biscuit.
So I've been charting this for the last couple of games.
Okay. We got an Excel sheet going over there?
No, it's just all up here.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I don't think Adam Fantilli has a shot on goal in the last two games.
I don't like hearing that.
It's not that he hasn't impacted the game, just doesn't have a shot on goal. So I'm definitely going to include a couple of those tonight.
Okay.
Like, how many? Two. So I'm going to go Fantilli, two shots on goal, and I'll put Z with two shots on goal.
Okay.
All right. And then let's pair that with a Super Bowl bet of Kenneth Walker with over 2.5 catches.
Ooh. Okay.
And that gets me to plus 160.
All right. I'm looking at the king tonight, LeBron James. You may have heard of him. His over and under for threes tonight, I like the value for the over for 1.5 threes at plus 105. So I'm going to lock in on that. They're in Brooklyn. Where Brooklyn at? Yeah, give me the Kang, AR. Plus 105 on the over for 1.5 threes. He's got 4 threes over his last 2 games. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
And may the odds be ever in your favor.
Represent Queens. There you go. She was raised out of Brooklyn.
There we go. There we
Let
go.
Me get to, I'm going to double check this Fantilli just to make sure I got that all up in the right file here. So last 2 games, yeah, no shots on goal.
Okay.
Previous 4 against the Flyers, 3 against Tampa, 2 against Dallas, 3 against Ottawa, 3 against Pittsburgh, 4 against Vancouver, 5 against Calgary.
He's due.
Like,
he's due.
I mean, if there was anything due.
Let it fly.
And I've waited now 2 games for this. Uh-huh. So let's start firing that biscuit.
I like where you're at.
With no Marchie tonight. I'm also going to.
More opportunities.
Well, that's.
More kinda, opportunities.
That's kind of why
Fantilli.
I'm leaning in tonight.
Yeah.
We need you, man.
I see the vision.
Melon, we need you. All right, Todd Monken. We need a little monk in here.
Todd.
This is when we took a break after he got emotional and
yeah.
Called Jimmy Haslam this morning and said, "Hey, what tie are you wearing? That bright orange one, right? I'm going to do the same. We'll look great in the picks."
Yeah, I don't know, AR, if we went 3 for 3 with emotional moments at the pressers in the AFC North. I don't know if Jesse Minter got emotional. I'll have to go back and listen to that. We know McCarthy did. Monken did. Zach Taylor is probably somewhere on vacation, so he doesn't have to do a press. But I wonder, do we go 3 for 3 with all the new coaches getting emotional?
I think you got a problem in the press there, conference. And I'll give you the problem. One guy is from Indiana going to Baltimore. The other guys were in the organization, right?
Mentor came back. He was in Baltimore before.
Yeah, but not.
He came back.
How long? Oh, in 2017?
Yeah. Okay. Just, you know, maybe you get overwhelmed by the moment. You know, first-time head coach in the NFL. I don't know. I'll do
check
some
that.
Research on that.
Getting all emotional about stealing his mentor's job.
See if he got choked up. Here's Todd Monken on when he was asked about Jim Schwartz, and he tiptoed and was like, there are a lot of reasons to take this job. Let's not focus on one man.
We're going to keep the same system. We're still going to let them attack. We're still going to let them play free. I can't see any other way. They're a big reason why I took this job. The defensive players. I didn't take this job because of Jim Schwartz. I have a lot of respect for Jim Schwartz. But I was, as I would hope he has for me. But I took it because of the players that are here. The ownership. Andrew Berry. And the ability to build this roster from the ground up on the offensive side. Mm. So, and I said this to the other guys. I didn't think I'd say it, but I'm going to say it. When I was preparing for the Cleveland Browns, I wasn't trying to chip Jim Schwartz. I was chipping Myles Garrett. And when I was sliding a protection to the outside backers or Grant Delpit that were blitzing off the edge, I was sliding the protection of the players. And when I was worried about throwing to the right against Denzel Ward or Tyson Campbell to the left, that's who I was worried about throwing at.
It's a great answer.
All that's good.
It's awesome.
But in there was some brutal honesty about where one side of the ball is. He said, and build this thing from the ground up on offense.
First of all, I'd like to thank all you.
I don't even think he meant to say that. I think
so
it was an
welcome.
Accident.
What, the ground up on offense thing? I mean,
I came here for the defensive players, and we'll try to come up with something on offense.
He was asked specifically about the Schwartz effect, I think.
It's an honest answer, though, because he can't sit up here and glowingly talk about where the offense is and all these playmakers that he currently has. But, yeah, if you're a guy that's on the roster and you're on offense, you're like, oh, dang, that's kind of where he thinks about us coming in here. But it's fair. It's fair.
Yeah, this had... I liked the press conference. I think he said what he needed to say. He was noncommittal on quarterback. He didn't want to lean into, hey, if we don't have Jim Schwartz, we're going to suck. Like, he didn't want to, like, if I'm over there, if I'm Andrew Berry or the ownership, I'm secretly in the corner when he says, I didn't take this job for Jim Schwartz. They're going, they're like, well done. They are, because this has Norman Dale written all over it. I hope you would support who we are, not who we are not. That guy has chosen not to be here right now. Let's not make it about him.
Yeah, and it's a great message to send to your players, man. Like, I got so much confidence in you guys. Like, I'm here for you. Yeah, I'm here for you guys. And look, he mentioned I respect Jim Schwartz, but a lot of the narrative over the last week or two has been that Jimmy Haslam was trying to do everything in his power to keep Jim Schwartz. And so if you're Todd Monken, one, you're like, well, I believe in myself that I can get things in order, where I can hold this thing down without him. But two, I got some dudes that I'm ready to roll with on Mondays, Thursdays, and Sundays. And that's what this is about. It's not about a defensive coordinator who is good. It's bigger than that.
These individuals have chosen to work, to sacrifice, to put themselves on the line 18 weeks a year to represent you, this city of Cleveland.
Draft day.
This is your team.
Draft day?
Hoosiers. That kind of commitment. Well, I thought.
Okay,
that.
I got what you're saying.
This
okay.
kind of commitment deserves and demands your respect, Matty. I liked it. I'll be very curious if they rescue the Jim Schwartz thing. It didn't sound like they were gonna.
He gone.
I think I have one more on that. Let me see. Oh yeah, here's the on Jim Schwartz specifically.
Well, first of all, I think Jim is an outstanding defensive coordinator. I think we all would agree with that. But I think it's a little inappropriate for me to comment about that at this time.
That means there's nothing definitive either way. And it's probably leaning the wrong way. Right? Because if his conversation went decent, be like, hey, I don't want to comment on that right now, but
be a lot warmer.
I talked to Jim and we had a very good conversation.
Be a lot warmer.
We'll let you know where that thing stands. Yeah. We're going to come back in 2 minutes. Our friend Brendan Deeg, the NFL news editor at The Score. Is this Super Bowl truly one of the easier ones to predict? That's what I've heard. That's what I've read. We'll get his answer on that next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
What I say when it comes to this basketball team is the law. Absolutely and without this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Cooling.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Dog friendly. And if you ain't down with that,
we got 2 words for you.
This is Rothman and Ice.
Big one on Sunday, the big one. And for that reason, we ring up our boy Brendan Deeg, the NFL news editor at The Score. He is the man. And hopefully he will have a score for us before the end of the conversation. BD, good to have you back.
How you guys doing?
Great. All right. I'm going to lean to the guys at quarterback who aren't a sure thing, even though they've looked very good. Who's more likely to lay an egg in this Super Bowl, Darnold or May?
So it's... I think it's a tough question because Sam Darnold led the league in turnover percentage this season. Like he's looked great in the playoffs. He had like a run from like week one, I think it was like week 14 where he was first in QBR. And then after that Rams game, he was 28th in QBR. And then in the playoffs, he looked great. It's been kind of a roller coaster season. And then Drake May, it's kind of the opposite. Like he was first in EP per pass play throughout the season. And then over the last three games in the playoffs, he actually ranked second last in the last 25 years. And he'd be for a drop back in the playoffs. Like he just hasn't looked the same. There's been a lot of factors, a shoulder injury, he's been dealing with the weather in both the Texans and Broncos game. But I think the answer is going to be Drake May, just because of the pass rush. The biggest issue with the Patriots offense right now is holding off pressure. Like Drake May has a 45% pressure to sack rate in the playoffs this year. That's nuts. The highest in the NFL this season was 26%, and that was Geno Smith with the Raiders. So like, this is just unsustainable. And the Seahawks, right, fourth in pressure rate, they can get after you. And we saw a different player in Will Campbell, the first round pick for the Patriots, since that knee injury. And I think Mike McDonald's going to do everything he can to kind of attack him. He leads the league in pressures, or leads the playoffs in pressures allowed in the playoffs so far this season. He just has not looked the same since suffering a knee injury. It was around week 15. So I'll go with Drake May, but like Sam Darnold, like I said, led the NFL turnover percentage. It's kind of a tale to, it's the quarterbacks. I've kind of put over together very similar performances, just they've done it in different ways.
We've been reacting today to Todd Monken's press conference, and you know, there's still some gray area, if you will, when it comes to Jim Schwartz and whether or not he's going to stick around and want to be the defensive coordinator. If we removed Jim Schwartz from the scenario, and Todd Monken is a guy, and obviously he hires a new defensive coordinator, what are your thoughts on what this Browns team, and maybe specifically what this defense may turn into?
Well, that suit jacket and jeans combo, like in the early on, like when during the pictures, like that's just got to be a win, right? I like to hire. Like, I'm on an island here, but I think the Browns did pretty good. Like there was a lot of kind of crazy reporting with how they went through the coaching search, and like I'm sure you guys have talked about it. Like they had guys write essays, and it was just a really complicated process, and they just wanted to find the right guy. But I like Todd Monken, always have. Did a great job at Georgia. He's done a great job in Baltimore. I really liked. Like I know this is kind of it's not everything, but I really liked his press conference today. Mm-hmm. I thought. When he was talking about holding players accountable, that message was great. I like the staff he's building. If he can keep Jim Schwartz, that is massive. I think the Browns did pretty well. Like I think this is, it's no secret, I think this is probably the worst job out of the 10 openings. And I think to land Todd Monken, an adult in the room and a guy that has had success on offense and basically every stop he's been over the last 5-6 years, I think it's a win.
I do too. I think we kind of echo that same thing. Maddie and I have been talking about it all day, and he certainly won the presser. Not that he was trying to win it, but he didn't want to focus on the weirdness about Jim Schwartz. And he didn't also, he was very noncommittal about quarterback, even though we saw that video of him mm-hmm. hugging Shador saying, man, I wanted to draft you in Baltimore and now we're together. So I think he did a pretty good job. Where are you on who they should or will add? I mean, would they go out and try to bring in a Malik Willis, or do they just stand pat and see what Deshaun and Shador can do, and Shador would get the first right of trying to earn the job again?
Yeah, I like the idea of potentially bringing in Malik Willis. Not like, of course, he doesn't have the same athleticism as Lamar Jackson, but like you can kind of run similar concepts with him. I think them and the Dolphins are going to be the two teams that are going to look to add him. They both kind of similar situations with just a quarterback that's not going to be playing on that's going to be taking up a lot of their cap. So they need to kind of find a stopgap situation. If Malik Willis is willing to take kind of the Sam Darnold deal for 3 years, I think you do that. But I think this is a team, like every other team in the league, that needs to find the franchise quarterback. And if Malik Willis, who knows if Malik Willis is that? He's shown a couple great games with the Packers, but he's still an uncertainty. That Travis Hunter trade is looking damn good right now. Like they have an opportunity now. Now, this is not the quarterback class, like outside of, maybe they do fall in love with a guy. Maybe there's a guy outside of Fernando Mendoza that Andrew Berry and Todd Monken and their scouts that they do love and they're willing to take here. But they have ammo now. They have draft pick ammo to go do that. And this is a team that has not had draft pick ammo. So like the flexibility of the Travis Hunter trade and contract thrown off the books has kind of helped them out. So yeah, I don't think you can go into the season with Shedeur Sanders like he's slotted. Like if come August, and Shedeur Sanders is taking first team snaps, I think that's a disappointment. Like I think Shedeur Sanders just doesn't deserve to be the quote unquote guy heading into September. I think they need to bring in some sort of competition if that's a rookie they like in the draft, or like you said, a Malik Willis.
So the Buffalo Bills, as you know, if they've had an interesting couple weeks just based off of how they're going about things in the media, and now you've got the GM and Brandon Bean coming out, and he did an interview, it looks like with Go Long, and one of the quotes coming out of that interview is F the outside, because I guess there's some Bill fans that are not happy about the Joe Brady hire. When you found out Joe Brady was the new head coach, do you like, or maybe not like, but I guess going from McDermott to Joe Brady, is that a lateral move, or do you think that's a level up for Buffalo?
like a coaching hires, like I said, I like the Todd Monken hire, but in the end, we all don't know. Like it, this stuff, like I'm an Eagles guy. I remember when they hired Nick Sirianni, I was frustrated. He goes out and goes to two Super Bowls. Like no one really exactly fully knows. But what you can critique is the process of it. And I really, really did not like the Buffalo Bills process of hiring Joe Brady. That interview was kind of alarming. Like the way that, not even just the interview that he had with Golong, the part of the stuff that Tyler Dunn had in it, where they basically had Joe Brady interview first. They interviewed a few guys through Zoom, interviewed Brady again, and then hired him. Like this is a process that could have taken a little longer. They could have done more than speak to Philip Rivers for 7 hours. That's kind of like the only guy that they even had some sort of eye on in this. I think if you were going to fire Sean McDermott, you had to go a completely different route. It's like you said the word lateral move. I think that's a great term for this. Like you want to go completely away from the McDermott era because you need a complete change of the guard. Now, Joe Brady can do things differently with practice schedules and treat players differently, of course. But at the end of the day, this is the same guy that's been building since 2023. Well, when you replaced Ken Dorsey, like I don't understand this process. And this is Brandon Bean's move. Like this is his job is on the line here. I thought the wrong guy got fired in general. I thought the interview with Tyler Dunn was a little alarming. I thought that press conference with Pegula was alarming. Like this whole situation stinks, and I'm just my ears are perked up for the season because replacing McDermott's defensive prowess, I think, was the toughest thing with firing him. I like Jim Leonard, don't get me wrong, but is he going to have the same kind of defensive success that McDermott had? Because this was his best work this season. This Bills defense did not have a lot of talent at all on it, and they were still a top 10 defense. And to go and just move the offensive coordinator up and hire Jim Leonard, I don't think that's going to do enough. And they're strapped with cap as well. Like, this whole process over the last month, I think, has kind of stunk for Bills fans. And I don't know if this going to work out.
Glad you mentioned your Eagles. Is the Fangio thing official? Is he back?
All the reporting is that he's expected to be back, yeah.
Okay. I was thinking,
I would be shocked at this point if he was.
I was just thinking that maybe the Schwartz, like I know he's not a head coach, and I don't know if the Browns aren't interested in letting him go, but I guess they could trade him if you guys wanted him badly, but that would be the Fangio would have to retire.
Yeah, so the reporting from Jimmy Kemsky of Philly Voice, he did kind of a deep dive in this some 2 days ago. He said that the Eagles have been contemplating, like, Jim Schwartz and before Jonathan Gannon came to took the Green Bay job, reaching out to him potentially if Fangio does retire. Fangio contemplated retirement last year as well after they won the Super Bowl and the Eagles convinced him to come back. He is expected to return right now. That's the Eagles' belief, but anything can change. Look, if you're Fangio, this was just a tough year. Like, your defense was awesome, and the offense was awful. Like, this was I've always wondered how Fangio and Sirianni get along. Like, to me, those two just in a room together, it's always been a weird relationship between those two in line you've been in, like, behind closed doors. It can't be the greatest relationship ever. But, yeah, he's expected to come back in. The Jim Schwartz is the name. Like, he won the Super Bowl with the Eagles in 2017. Like, I'm assuming if Fangio did retire, that was definitely a guy they kicked the tires on. But he's under contract in Cleveland, and my guess is Jim Schwartz is back in Cleveland. I think all cool heads do prevail.
All right, final 10 seconds. You got a score for Sunday?
Ooh, okay. I'm going 21-17 Seahawks. Seahawks win by 4. They had a game-winning drive to score. Patriots didn't shut down the Patriots. Patriots covered the 4.5-point spread. I think this is going to be towards a lower scoring game, and I think the Seahawks squeak it out. I think the pass rush from the Seahawks on the Patriots offensive line is going to be the difference in this game. I think Drake May's legs is an under-talked about storyline as well. Like, he's done such a good job with his legs, and if I'm the Patriots, I'm doing everything possible to utilize his legs. There's only one game left here. There's no holding him for next week, but I do think that I do think the Seahawks prevail.
Well done, my man. Enjoy it. We'll talk soon. Thanks, Brendan.
You guys are the best. Enjoy the Super Bowl.
Thanks, buddy. You too. Brendan Digg, NFL news editor at The Score. He was on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. We'll come back with Tell the Truth, Rothman and Ice and The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The biggest football.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.
Back in the day, if you wanted to listen to the fan, you turned on the radio, and that was the end of the story.
But now, oh baby, stream us live on the Fan app.
TuneIn app, iHeart app, we're everywhere.
The Fan, Ohio's streaming destination.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.
.com.
It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, the Fan. Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, TLC, take us home.
All right. Tell the truth, if we're anything less than first place in the Barrett rankings, is it my fault?
No, it's not.
Oh, man.
It's not.
Not TLC.
Okay. And if we were fortunate enough to be acknowledged again in any way, shape, or form, it's also not because of you.
I like that.
My name's not on the marquee, like, so it's
okay. No, that's that would be interesting.
I'm trying to figure out. So Lindsey Vonn, I guess, would have torn her ACL on January 30th?
I think the term is ruptured.
Ruptured?
Yeah, I mean, brutal.
And she's still going?
Well, that's
she's
the thing.
Yes. You have that soundbite?
I do. Yeah. Lindsey Vonn of age...
41?
41? That was going to be my guess.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
Regardless, here is her talking about the fact that her ruptured...
Yeah.
ACL as of, what, 5 days ago is not getting in her way.
I'm not letting this slip through my fingers. I'm going to do it. End of story. So I'm not letting myself go down that path. I'm not crying. My head is high. I'm standing tall. And I'm going to do my best. And whatever the result is, that's what it is. But I can never say I didn't try.
So... if you knew that you had literally one last sporting event in your life, whether it be you're in the playoffs of Major League Baseball or whatever, where you know you're retiring at the end and you got one last round in you, how far are you taking it injury-wise?
Depends on the injury.
I mean, I like this question. I think we can hit AR right here in the fields because this guy's a really good golfer. As we all know, right?
Well,
and so let's say you're
in the 18th tee box.
Let's say your last media tournament at Jack's Place.
Oh.
And going into that, your back is just shredded. But you just know this is the last one before we hang your jersey up in the rafters here. Would you go out there and do it?
Well, first I'd pray for rain and probably be delivered on that. So they get postponed.
But let's say the round is happening and this is your last one.
We're going.
Yeah.
We're going. I don't believe I'd ask for a cart unless it's to take me back to the clubhouse. Because I've just...
What about a cane?
A cane?
To walk up and down.
Well, I got 14 clubs in the bag to use as
enough.
A cane.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
You're playing, though. You would have to play.
I'm playing. I think, though, that you do have to ask yourself one thing. And I looked into this with Lindsey Vonn, and she says the knee feels stable, that it's not swollen.
For now.
She's got a knee brace, and she's going to go out there and do the downhill. And I don't know how much
pressure
she's going to have to put on that slalom-wise. But, I mean, it's...
It's baller it's from her to do that.
It's crazy that. Because you start thinking about now balancing competing versus can I medal versus what am I going to be able to feel like and walk in the later years of my life. And I think those are the things you have to balance because, I like you said, praise her for going out there.
Yeah,
the dream isn't over, and this is what the Olympics are all about. But to rupture your ACL and feel like you can go out there and ski is remarkable to me. Mm-hmm. I'd ask the orthopedic people, how much damage am I going to do on this? Will I be able to walk in 10 years?
Yeah. And I'm sure she's probably done that, right? That's because I have to imagine if they were telling her this is an absolute no, like this is one of the worst things you could do. I wouldn't think that she'd be going down this path.
If you told me, and I'll put it back on myself.
Yeah.
You told me, hey, you can play this last round, but you're going to need a spinal fusion in the next 2 years because of it? Absolutely not.
You're bailing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you this. It's the morning of your last radio show on the station before retirement. Mm. How sick do
this
you...
This is for Maddie or me?
You. Both of you. Actually, well, I mean, Maddie will just, you know, that's do Monday, Wednesday, Friday with the Comrex. They won't actually retire.
That's great.
Once he gets that that lotto. Yeah, but nice. It's the morning of your final show before retirement. How sick do you have to feel to say, I can't make it in today?
Or how much snow is in the parking lot?
Yeah, how much snow has to be in your parking lot for you to be like, I can't drive in?
I think I would have to have a really bad batch of food poisoning.
Which I've had.
Oh, and so have I. And that is not a fun experience.
You can't be anywhere but the bathroom. Yeah.
That's probably what
unless
would do
you're planning
it for
on
me.
Bringing the Comrex into the bathroom.
I don't think that's. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that. It would take that a really bad case of food poisoning.
I think this is a better question. If you want to leave it to like golf and that. You get one chance to play Augusta. Somehow the stars and planets aligned, and you found somebody who's willing to take you there as a guest or your friend. Like, this is it. And you wake up that morning with a fever or something that you have the flu.
Yeah.
There's no way you could swing a golf club. Like, that would probably say... The golf gods have just decided to rain on this thing.
Food poisoning,
I agree. Like, I think it's flu/food poisoning.
Okay.
You'd have no energy with the flu. You couldn't do it.
Yeah. If, going back to your Augusta hypothetical, we'd have to call Dr. Carpenter because what's his rule? I'll get you going.
Yeah.
But after that,
he didn't tell me about you're gonna feel. The internal bleeding that I was going to have based on getting me into the Indy car. But I just think that, because you hear about the flu game. Now, would I IV it up?
The flu game was a myth, right? That was fake news, right?
I think he was definitely sick.
But it was, once we got, you know,
they said
the
somebody tried to poison his food.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
I would say that I would do everything that it took to play that round.
Oh, you're crawling your knees from tee to green if you get to play Augusta.
I don't think they would let you do that, number one. But I would say... If you said, hey, I'd go in and get an IV, I'd talk to anybody I could on what can we do to make this happen.
Well, Fitzy was telling us he was taking, steroid shots or something to get him ready to go. And
bringing his voice
back. But, there'd be some options for you. I would be sad or if you went down there, had an opportunity to play, got sick, and didn't gut it out.
Gut it out.
I thought you were just going to say and didn't get a chance to play.
So, I thought you were going to say that, too. Right. Yeah, so that was your responsibility. It's your fault, rather.
Oh, man. Way to not toughen up.
Losers always whine about their best.
Oh, that's good.
National Carrot Cake Day, in or out on Carrot Cake?
I love it. I am in on carrot. It gets a bad rap, and I don't really know why. I love
it's
some carrot
cream
cake,
cheese icing or whatever they got going on there.
Let's go.
Outstanding.
Oh, man. Hey, before we go, you missed anything from our show, don't worry. You can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. All you have to do is type in Rothman and Ice. Everything we do from noon to 3. We'll be waiting there for you. Subscribe to the podcast as well. Bet365, they're the sponsor of the Rothman and Ice podcast. Common Man and Timmy coming up next from 3 to 6. Don't move.
All right, here's what we got for tomorrow. We'll have Shefty on tomorrow. We'll ask him about where the Jim Schwartz thing stands. We'll try to hook up with Z for Hockey and Hounds. It'll be our last one with him before the Olympic break. And, of course, they'll play on Wednesday here for their last game before the break. So we'll have a lot to do. Join us then. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.